Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. We might talk to you if you're bold enough to call. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, there, big old Bri.
Pterodactyl's coming later in the show. First, something I'm always interested in talking about. I had a little talk with my wife about, I want my kids to be successful, but it doesn't necessarily mean sending them to college to learn how to do that. Although I'm not one of these guys that wants them to get shot, become a rapper, and do all that street smarts crap. There's some, we always talk about street smarts, and then we talk about education, college, and all that. But there's something sort of in between. There's a kind of a people smarts.
I agree that they are not mutually exclusive.
And not only that, but there are other categories, is what I'm saying. I mean, you can be street smart and education smart, but then there's other categories. They're both sort of extremes.
Right. There's a book called EQ, Emotional Quotient, and it's sort of an ancillary to IQ. EQ means you're resilient, you read people well, you have good emotional skills.
I'll give you an example.
If you bought that book, it means you're gay. Or a girl.
GQ. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Something we've spoken about before. You're on a planet with a whole bunch of other people, and your job is to get them to do for you what you want them to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it's give you a job.
Right.
Sometimes it's just lift the velvet rope and let you into the club.
Sure.
Sometimes it's as little as, I'm leaving the theater. Can I run out to my car and get back in without presenting the stub? I lost my stub. How do you get that guy to go, yeah. Go ahead. And then sometimes it's bigger. Sometimes it's oral sex. The greatest gift that can be given to another human being. I mean, whatever it is, whether it's sex, money, employment, whatever it is, you want that person to do for you what you want. And it happens 1,000 times a day. You might not even know it.
Yeah. In fact, here is the definition I just looked up for emotional intelligence. Often measured as emotional intelligence quotient describes an ability, capacity, or skill to perceive, assess, and manage the emotions of oneself and others and of groups.
She read it right off her wristband, by the way.
I've got mine right here. The whole thing just says gay. My opinion hasn't changed.
I see exactly what you mean. If you can convince people to do things you want and still make them feel good about it.
I'm going to talk to my kids and go, you're on a planet with a whole bunch of not polar bears and not manatees, human beings.
Yeah.
You better figure them out and figure out how to, and I don't mean manipulate.
Right.
But in a sense, it is manipulate.
Yeah.
But manipulate suggests they didn't want to do it.
Right.
Right.
There's a way to do this where you can both be happy.
Yeah,
guy who's standing holding the velvet rope can be happy about letting you into the club.
Yeah.
And you can be happy about gaining entrance to the club.
The trick is, can he make you feel okay about not letting you into the club?
Well, that might be his objective, and we'll see if he's able to pull that off or who now becomes a chess match. But I was thinking about this as it pertains to my own family, and I'll give you an example. My dad wants me to lease him a new car. It's time for me to lease him a new car. I've been leasing him a new car for about the last 8 or 9 years. Not because he deserves it, just because I've made good money and I don't care.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. And he doesn't have a car to drive around. There's a part of me that thinks, my dad, he sort of knows not what he does. He's really almost a semi-pathetic character who just goes through life not really being aware of. What's that tapping, by the way? Huh?
I don't know.
Oh, well, it stopped. Anyway, he wants a new car. Well, in the past, he's come over to my house, and on the times he does come to my house, he oftentimes drives my stepmother's crappy 90s Honda.
Right.
Not the luxury car that I lease him. I'm going to point it out to him on more than one occasion. Dad, you have a nice luxury car that I lease you. Perhaps you should drive it.
Yeah.
And he's sort of like, the Honda gets better mileage. But it's like, Okay, so your Jag gets 20 miles to a gallon or 18 miles a gallon, and the Honda gets 30 miles to the gallon, but you live 6 miles from here. Wow. Round trip, what are you saving, a couple of tablespoons?
Right.
Plus, my take is it's a little bit offensive.
Well, as I was saying to my wife yesterday, when somebody buys you a sweater, when your grandma
yes.
buys you a sweater, usually wear it over her house for Thanksgiving yes. just to give a little tip of the hat to the
of
old
course.
Lady. This is a $50,000 sweater. Put it on, Pops.
Yeah.
So I've
it
had,
doesn't keep him as warm as the Honda.
I've had the conversation with him on an occasion or two. Not an argument, just not even really so much I'm offended, but like, hey, you got a nice car. Why don't you drive it?
Yeah.
You know, who cares about a couple of gallons of gas, which, by the way, isn't a couple gallons of gas. But even if
right.
it was, it'd be $5
right.
for you, Pops. Anyway, this is a couple of years back. Of course, next time he comes over, the last time he came over, he's driving stepmom's Honda again. And she's not driving a brand new Accord with leather, air, and a V6. She's driving the CRV, one of the cheapest Hondas made.
I have that.
One of the safest Hondas made. What'd I say?
The whole thing is cheapest? An airbag.
Now it sounded like cheapest. No, I said safest Hondas. Yes, one of the cheapest. Is it one
yeah.
of the cheapest Hondas
well,
made?
I'll tell you, I bought mine a year old, and it was $20,000.
Mm. Hers
well,
is
that cheap.
Hers is 5 years old, and they bought it.
I see.
So they're putting miles on it.
Right.
The car that my dad has is a lease. My dad gets 36,000 miles for 3 years.
Huh.
The car's at 25,000 miles, and the 3 years is up.
What?
My dad has not driven the car to the whatever, which I've explained to him before as well. You get 12,000. This is another part about just sort of being out of it, not knowing
yeah,
right. how many miles. You
right.
get 12. The minimum on a lease is 12,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
Right.
I've tried to lease a car and said, give me 8 because my wife doesn't drive anywhere. And they've said, sorry, 12 is the minimum. You can go up, but you can't really go down.
Okay.
My dad has 36,000 miles on a lease that ended a couple of weeks ago. And they've just extended it because they're friendly with me. And I pay for it, but they just keep extending it. And he has probably 26,000 miles on the car. So, of course, when they come over on Labor Day, was Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
When they come over on Labor Day, they're driving the
beautiful
stepmom's
CRV.
Crappy CRV. Not only is it a crappy car to be driving in 200-degree weather in, but you're putting mileage on a car that you own,
right.
thus depreciating the car
yeah.
that you own, while the car that you don't own,
yes.
that the son has paid for the mileage for already,
yes.
we'll turn it in next week and it'll be under 7,000 miles less than whatever. And it's not like the guy's going to give me a rebate.
No,
it's
just
going to turn it in.
Unused miles.
And I will have already paid for those unused miles. That car will just sit out in the driveway.
Yes. Can I put forth a theory?
Yes.
Because
hold on.
Yes.
And this is during negotiations.
For the new car.
For the new one.
Yes. Okay. So arguably horrible EQ when you're going to ask somebody for a new car. But maybe here, I would just venture this. Sometimes I buy myself something like a really expensive moisturizer or a pair of shoes that are expensive, and then I don't wear them, mostly because I almost don't feel worthy or I don't want to ruin them. Like I'll buy an expensive handbag and then mm-hmm. it'll just stay in my closet because I don't feel like that's the handbag I should have.
Mm-hmm. I think you're transferring a little bit here.
Do you think it's just the gas mileage? Or just maybe he just feels like he didn't really buy the car and he's not a Jaguar guy?
He wants another luxury car.
He does.
Yeah, so the theory's fine. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it would seem like he would be a good candidate for that theory.
Right.
But he's not almost conscious enough to have that theory. A, he wants another luxury car.
Right.
So it's not like, son, you've done too much. I'm guilt-ridden.
Right.
No, he wants another car. B, we've had the conversation. C, he's so sort of out of it enough not to even get that far ahead in his thinking.
Yeah.
No, he thought, A, he doesn't know what the mileage is. He doesn't know what the lease is. He keeps thinking part of it is low EQ, and then the other part is just
confusion.
Thinking like a poor person. That's right. What my family does. My family. One second, Danny. I'll take that question in a second. My family doesn't understand that I have money, that I can pick up the phone and call the guy at the Jag dealership and say, hey, it's Adam Carolla. And the guy says, yeah. Oh, Mr. Carolla.
Right.
And I say, hey, listen, do me a favor. My dad's got this lease. It was up a week ago. Let's let it ride for a couple months. Just sure. Keep the payments rolling. And he says, anything for you, Mr. Carolla. And he hangs up the phone. When I call my dad and say, Dad, just drive the car. He says, is it okay? And I say, don't worry. I made a phone call. Right. Yeah, but I don't want any problems, you know? No, Dad. It's taken care of. I paid for it. Okay, so I can drive the car. And I'll have this conversation with him six more times because my dad thinks that some guys dressed in the Jag racing green and with an eye patch and Uzis are going to come to his house, rough him up, throw him in a dumpster, and take the car from him.
Repo.
Because that is the sort of poor man's mentality. Yeah. It's almost like, what's going to happen to me? They don't understand that part where you pay, people take care of you, you're not always having to look over your shoulder, things aren't going to be taken away. You know, they want to know if it's, my mom, she'd have some friends come in from out of town. They'd want to go see Loveline at MTV. She'd ask me if it was okay.
How would I know that?
I don't want to get you in any trouble. You know what I mean? It's like, Mom, I'm the star of the show. I can do whatever I want.
Right.
It's that sort of poor person, downtrodden mentality. So part of it with my dad is, even though I've told him six times, go ahead and drive the car. It's paid for.
Yeah.
I've ironically extended the lease on the car that's way under mileage for the lease so it can sit in the goddamn driveway and he can drive the crappy Honda over to my house. But again, the message, you know what I mean? The EQ.
Yeah.
The part where, like, my sister will do stuff like she'll want to ask to borrow a little money, but then later on in the same sentence say, what station is your show on again?
Uh-oh.
You know, that kind of stuff. It's sort of like, it's not intentional, but it's not the greatest way to get leases on luxury automobiles.
Yes.
I'm really like, he left and I was like, listen, screw that old man. I'm not going to get him another car. Right. Why? So can sit in his driveway? And, you know, my wife will go, well, maybe you should have talked to him.
Yeah.
I've had the conversation with him before. Drive the car.
Why do you think he won't drive it?
It's like, it'd be easy to say, oh, he's jealous or oh, he's scared or oh, he's whatever. But the reality is, he just doesn't think about it.
Right.
I guarantee they started walking for the car. My stepmom grabbed her keys and he followed her right into the crappy car. He doesn't think about it, but that's not really an excuse either.
It comes across a little ungrateful, but I would say that in stark contrast to the Corollas, perhaps, as you've just described them, Lynette has about the highest EQ you could imagine. When you're talking to your wife, Lynette, she makes you feel as though you're the only person in the room and that you're the most fascinating. That's EQ.
Unless the nanny's in the room, too.
You woke me up for.
All right, Danny, thank you. I cut you off moments ago.
I was just going to ask you, is this the same gentleman that used to be my teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says.
He has a selective memory. And it's weird when, like, if somebody were to call someone in my family a name, even if I didn't like them, I would take up for my family member.
Yeah, of course.
Even if I didn't like them. Because I can call my brother fat and stupid, but you can't.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say your dad's out of it.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you. But Mr. Carolla believes himself to have been my teacher at this very nice outdoor school in Malibu Canyon.
Yes.
It was a prison, essentially.
Right.
It wasn't a pleasant outdoor campus. You were sent there by the state.
Oh, he didn't call it a pleasant outdoor campus. He just said when he taught at one of these alternative schools, which is really a prison without a fence. Well, when the kids are screw-ups, they take them out to some vacant land. They drop them off in a bungalow, and they have stooges like my dad try to control them for 20 minutes a day, and then they send them home. Danny, my dad was a substitute school teacher and kind of a school teacher for troubled kids, and probably because they don't judge and their parents don't come around too often. You know, if you think about it, if you're going to be a school teacher, do not teach over at the prep school, over at the Lord Fauntleroy School with the silver spoons, right. Because A, parents are spending $30,000 a year for education. They want results. B, they're up your butt. Like, they want to meet with you. They want to sit down with you. They want to take them to the place that's essentially a prison camp.
Right.
The parents are completely out of touch. That's why the kids are running wild in the first place. And nobody's going to worry about if the kid learns trigonometry or not. It's just if he doesn't come home with a knife sticking out of his back, it's considered a banner day.
Except for the kid that failed to stick a knife in your back, you're a failure.
Well, he's going to catch holy hell from his parents.
No, you're right. Avoid the prep school.
And you get a lot of nice street cred, too. Because if you go, oh, I'm teaching over at the Buckley School for, and everyone's like, oh, okay. Oh, I see. Took the easy route. But if you say, oh, I'm working with special needs or kids that are at risk or threatened or whatever, then it's like, hey, man, wow, thanks.
Yeah.
You're really giving back to the community. So my dad taught at one of these schools, which is out in like Agora.
Yeah, in a canyon. So it's really, you can look at it as lovely or you can look at it as escape proof, depending on how you decided to look at things.
Well, sort of like Devil's Island. There's no fence, but the sharks will get you or the current.
Right.
You know,
you could
make a break for it, but you die of exposure.
Sure. De facto, it's a prison.
You can't get anywhere. You'll be bitten by a snake or you'll just die of exposure.
Yes,
Danny. So my dad claims, and I believe him because I sort of remember at the time even him mentioning something about a couple celebrity kids that were there. And I think Danny's name came up. But my dad, and you should be flattered, Danny, my dad has almost no memory for any dates or any events or anything. He rarely ever talks about anything from the past. You know, it's not like my dad to say, oh, yeah, remember a few years back your friend so-and-so said? He doesn't say that. He doesn't know any of my friend's names. He doesn't know when anything happened. You could put a gun to his head and say, when was Adam married or what's the date of this or when did that happen? He would have no. He's the man who sat here on my first radio show, and I said, Dad, I have $10,000 in front of me, and I have a check. It says $10,000 on it, and I'm about to write your name on it. And my dad needs the money. That's why I lease him a car. I said, I was on a station for 10 years in Los Angeles. Name the radio station.
Oh, wow.
$10,000.
Couldn't do it.
He doesn't live in Kentucky.
Lives right here.
He lives in North Hollywood.
10 years. You hardly missed a night.
On one station. I was there almost every night for 10 years. I said, name the radio station. And I will write you this check for $10,000.
Wow. And he said, did he even try?
He started into the K-Rock. He stumbled through the K-Rock, but he couldn't get through. I would have given him half credit for the whatever he came with in terms of the K-Rock, but he couldn't get the numbers. He started in the sevens. He had the seven something, which is not even on the FM.
No, time. I was going to say.
Although the AM/FM would have thrown him for a loop too. Although I guess he could have flipped a coin. So I'm saying when he said to me, "I taught Bonaducci at that school 30 years ago," you got to understand for him, that is like I'd be like if you were lighting a cigarette and your dog stood up on its hind legs and said, "Danny, three packs is enough." You know what I mean?
Well,
like
that would have been big of a moment.
That was that kind of moment for me. I was floored. So
I'm impressed and flattered.
That was you should definitely be.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over to Adam's dad's house with a check for like $8 because that's the share I get around here. And I'm going to go, hey man, name the station I'm on, and I'll say, oh dude. You're on 97.1 Free FM with that other guy, Canona. See, here's your money.
All right. Well, anyway, so again, everybody, the emotional, the EQ. A lot of you piss a lot of people off. Yeah. And it's somewhere between piss off and not really want to do what you want to do for them. You know what I mean? It's like when your cop pulls you over. Cop can do anything a cop wants. He really can. He could let you go with a warning, or he could pull you out of the car and search the car.
Yeah.
Don't piss him off.
Right.
And again, it's not just about piss off. You know, my dad didn't do anything that was offensive. It's just he's on the cusp with the new luxury car lease.
Yeah.
And he hurt his case a little bit by, for the second time in a row, driving the crappy Honda over to the house. That's all.
I'm with you.
Just wake up a little, everybody.
Right.
You want something out of life. You want other people to want these things for you. Oh, believe me. If I said, what would you rather do, find $100 million or just have a life where everybody was looking out for you, I'd say forget the $100 million. You'll make $5 billion if you have it my way.
Yeah.
Every chick you meet at a bar gives you a phone number. Every cop who pulls you over lets you off with a warning. Every job interview, the guy hires you on the spot. That's all. Once you can massage, and again, you guys look at it as lying or manipulating or somehow forcing somebody into, oh no, get that chick at the bar to want to give you her phone number. Get that cop to want to give you a warning.
Can I ask you something? You probably saw me opening my email while you were speaking, but I just wanted to get to something that I thought really fit here. And my brother Anthony, the one that lives in Mexico, builds the apartment buildings. Well, there was a huge strike just shy of a revolution in the state of Oaxaca, Mexico, where things were burnt down in the city center and stuff like that. My brother builds apartment buildings, and my sister, whose husband is a lawyer and she does work for Weller Gross, when they make a decent living, I don't think they make collectively what I'm used to making, but they certainly make more than I'm making currently. They lent my brother $17,000. And since they did, I felt I had to, even though I'm getting a divorce at the moment. I just bought a condo. I've still got to pay for the big house. I'm in some financial straits. But I sent my brother, who I have not spoken to in over a year, not because I don't like him, it's just a hassle to call talk this. To him. It's a little nowhere town in not kidding around Mexico. You know, there's nobody wearing a lot of oil and drinking Cabana drinks
right
where my brother lives. So here's the letter I just got. Danny, and I had it done for my accountant. I haven't even sent him a letter or called him. I just sent him $10,000. Danny, thanks for the $10,000. I have an idea. I have no idea when I can pay you back the principal, but I can start paying back the interest right away. I don't know how much has been explained to you, but I'm trying to finish my apartments on the hill, and I need $50,000 now, $40,000 over the next 5 months. I'll be paying 7% interest on the money, interest only, until I can pay it back. If you could just set up $8,000 a month for the next 5 months, you'd be saving my life.
Now, wow.
It goes on.
Yeah.
But I just lent the guy 10 G's. And right. I haven't spoken. He just got a check that he's thanking me for that I wasn't even sure I actually sent.
Right.
I called my accountant and said, do we have it? I know I'm screwed. And if my accountant, who is like kind of more like my dad in a way, even though I think we're the same age, but if my accountant said, no, you can't afford it, I would just say, okay. I wouldn't question him.
Right.
Say, I don't have this money.
Right.
But I guess he said, I did.
Right.
My brother's only response is, can I have $8,000 more a month for the next 5 months? And then he'll do stuff for me. If you're worried about security on the loan, I can transfer ownership of the small apartment downstairs to your name. Because that's what I need.
Sure.
A small apartment in Oaxaca.
A Oaxacan safe house. Where are you going to keep, everyone needs a bitch in Oaxaca.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because sometimes you're driving home from the club and you're a little buzzed and you feel like going home to the old lady.
Sure.
You swing by Oaxaca for a quickie.
You realize
shower before you come home, though. The old lady will smell it on you.
This is a place you just can't get to. You have to stop a couple of places and then do a puddle jumper. This is not like a real place.
Yeah, but think of all that rent you'd get.
But what he's not mentioning is that he needs this money because during the riots, they burnt down the Gringo's apartment building.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's a great asset.
Well,
how's that on your EQ? Thanks for the 10 G's. Can I have 40 more? And you can have some ashes. And they're not even your dad's.
Well, here's what I would say. He is clumsily attempting to extract money from you.
Yes.
But at least, I mean, you're that's just a ham-handed way to try to wring as much as you possibly can out of the same bar rag.
Right.
Not that you're a bar rag, Danny. But the point is
not today.
it's another thing.
You're afraid you're offended bar rags.
My dad, when my dad drives the crappy Honda to my house, he doesn't have an agenda. No. He's just hurting his case for a new car sitting and driving a crappy car to my house. Yeah. That's the EQ part. Okay, like, I understand. Like, here's what I said to my wife last night. Then we're taking a break, I promise.
We'll be back.
I said to my wife, I said, look, if you are going to, I said, if our kids, if my little Sonny, little Santino, if God forbid he ever gets busted for trying to rob a bank, I'll be upset. But if he gets busted for trying to rob a bank with no money in it, I'll kill myself.
Right.
My family gets busted for trying to rob banks with no money in them. You understand?
Yeah.
My dad has no agenda other than stupidity when he drives his old lady's crappy Honda to my house every time. He has a crappy drive from Pasadena. I have one less reason to lease him a new car.
I'm with you.
And there's no money in the bank. He's not attempting. At least your brother is insultingly and clumsily attempting to get more money from his brother, who makes a good living, or at least one.
Recently
by Oaxacan standards. We'll take ourselves a quick break.
We'll be right back.
When we come back, your home improvement questions. Ah. That's right. Your home improvement questions. 866-901-ADAM. I will answer your home improvement questions next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Big ups, peeps! Today, from Family Guy and Austin Powers, actor Seth Green, Adam's crazy high school buddy Ray. We'll also check in with Hugh Hauser. Oh boy, this is gonna be amazing! Nuts! And we'll finally get to meet T's new boyfriend. Although I hear he's been meeting her every night. Get it? Meet. It's a double entendre, peeps. You know, a joke that goes both ways. Not like I do. I mean, don't. I mean, okay.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM is the number to call for your home improvement questions. We have a little intro. Yes, Bald Brian?
From the pantheon of morning radio, a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco. It's like a wall stud in your ceiling. Something called a tuck trowel. The bottom of a ceiling joist. You grind out the mortar. 2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
Okay, now the fun begins.
God, I've tuned you out, Paul Bryan. Otherwise, I'd be very upset. Dave?
Ace man.
Dave, what's your question for me?
What's up, man? I love your show.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, I wanted to know, I'm looking on dropping some you know, $500-$600 on a cordless power tool combo kit.
The combo kit. Yes, the very popular combo kit. Not only do you get the cordless drill, you may get a cordless circular saw, you may get a flashlight, you may get a bayonet, a reciprocating saw, or a Sawzall, as they call it. That is the brand name.
Exactly.
Sawzall is the reciprocating saw, what Q-tip is the cotton swab.
I got it. Right. You think it's called a Q-tip, but that's the brand name.
Right.
Like Kleenex.
I was just going to say Kleenex.
Like Kleenex. That's right. All right. So, Dave.
I was thinking tampons. I just bought some.
You
want to
know.
We're having a ball out here.
We are.
You want to know what brand to go with?
Exactly. You know, what your personal preference is as far as, you know, DeWalt, Makita, Milwaukee.
Yeah, here's what I would do. Everything works. Everything's good. I'm not a fan of DeWalt. Other people seem to be.
Buys those.
I don't know what's wrong with those people.
Those aren't good?
Not for me. I do not like the DeWalt. No, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's crappy stuff.
No.
It's basically Black & Decker stuff. DeWalt is, since we're doing our analogies, DeWalt is to Black & Decker what Lexus is to Toyota.
I see.
Except for if Toyota was crappy. Yes, because Black & Decker stuff is junk, and then DeWalt is just glorified junk.
This is good to know.
Not into the DeWalt stuff, but here's the point. It all works. It's all pretty good. It's all pretty cheap. It's a great time to be alive. I would do this, young Dave. I would go handle the tools. Pick up that cordless drill. See what it feels like in your hand. You left-handed? I'm left-handed. When I use a DeWalt tool, the inside of my left thumb hits this weird clutch thing, and it shuts the tool off because it's made for a right-hander. Mm-hmm. Most tools don't have that. Pick up the tool, see how it feels in your hand. Here's the deal, everyone. Everything works now. Everything will turn enough RPMs. Everything has enough amperage to get the job done. But see what it feels like.
Yeah.
Whether it's a gun, a spatula, or a cordless drill, put it in your hand.
But out of curiosity, what's the Jaguar of cordless tools?
You know, the thing about tool companies, we're staying with the car analogy, they make... It's like, you know, BMW makes a great road car, but they don't make a pickup truck.
Okay.
Or if they did, it wouldn't be a very good pickup truck. It's that kind of thing. It's like DeWalt makes good, I don't know what. Milwaukee makes good right angle drills. I'm going to bore you in a second.
No, the point I know is what you mean. You, if you need one thing from each.
So we've accomplished
our mission. Need a roto hammer, you get a Bosch. Sure. You know, they all make their own different specialty tools. I mean, you can't go wrong with Makita. All right, let's see.
Can I just say, by the way, I usually don't participate in home improvement. I just back up and let Mr. Corolla do what he does best. But best cordless tool ever, the Rabbit.
The Rabbit.
I'm sticking with it, and I'm standing by it.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
Brad?
Yeah?
What do you got for me?
Yeah, I just moved into a new house, and I step out onto my... you know, I open up the back door and I step out on the grass. So I want to build a patio out there. I'm looking for the most, the easiest, most cost-effective way of doing that.
You want to build a patio. You want a slab and an awning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how handy are you, my brother?
I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I'm the best, but I'm not the worst.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do. I would not mix up the concrete myself if I were you. What people don't realize is you have to build up, you have to mix up like 30 sacks of concrete to fill up a trash can with concrete. You would be amazed how little it goes when you mix it up yourself. You would be there forever. But you can form it yourself.
What's that?
All right. You know,
Brad.
I was just thinking that.
I smell a fire trap in the makings. I smell trouble. Perhaps you should get three bids and take the middle one. I'm not sure where to start with the guy. It seems. Because here's the thing about screwing something up. You have to live with it.
Right.
Yeah. It becomes a living testament to your ineptitude in this particular topic.
Some of us call it marriage.
Yes. When you build yourself a crappy addition or bad add-on or decide you're going to build the cabinets yourself in your kitchen and you do a crappy job, you don't just visit it every other weekend on leap years. You see it every single day, and everyone who comes to your house sees it every single day, and they realize you're a hack. And there's nothing sadder than that. I would argue better to have no deck than a crappy constant reminder of how bad you are at what you do,
yes.
Deck.
Also true of marriage.
I agree. Better to never get married than to have the loveless sham of a relationship Danny lived for 17 years.
Yeah. If you start having your deck ignored for, you know, months at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bound to look for other neighbors to trounce upon it.
That's right. I think I get it. Norma?
Hi, Adam.
What do you got for me, baby?
Well, on the outside of my jacuzzi, all the tiles popping off, and on the inside of the pool, I'm just tired of it. Am I capable of popping the tile off of the outside of the jacuzzi and putting new stuff on with mastic? And if I drain the pool, is it that hard to put the tile, to remove the tile and then put new tile on?
Now, who else has got some story?
Well, you wouldn't use mastic. You would use thin set.
On the outside of the jacuzzi?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, what's the jacuzzi made out of?
Oh, it was cement formed.
So anything that's made out of cement, you shouldn't use the mastic. The mastic is a glue. You might use it on some green board if you're putting up some tile inside of a shower stall. But if you're putting it on a masonry product, you should use thin set for that.
Okay.
And you have to use a porcelain tile that's through and through because, you know, it's exposed to the elements and all the chemicals and all that.
Okay.
And, wow, are you a single, lesbian? What's going on in your life?
No. ain't no lesbian dude.
Well, where's what,
I ain't the lady, no lesbian
the lady
dude.
Does protest.
What do you
no.
Where's your man?
Well, I think I can tackle this myself. I try to keep him.
Answer the question.
Inside the glory hole.
Where's your beard? I mean, your fella.
No, I have so many projects going constantly that I have to kind of slowly wean him into my my scheme.
Well, what's the deal? Do you live with him?
Yes.
And he's your husband?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeties.
Sweeties is something you have in high school once you hit menopause.
Oh.
They call the Norma? They call the guy flops on your Murphy bed.
How long have you been with Sweetie?
A long time now.
What happened to the first Sweetie? He beatied you?
Oh, no, no, no.
He leavied you?
He boozied and then beated you before he leavied?
No, more like the other way around. But how do I get the... How do I get
beat
the,
him?
Hold
how
on.
Do I get the, how do I get the tile from
hold on, Sweetie Beatie.
Yeah.
I'm in love with Norma.
I may be.
We'll
Norma,
be back.
Norma, let's get your stats. Oh, hold on a second, Norma.
Like
you're
she's
right.
Working out the
we
tiles
take a break
on the space shuttle.
Though. Yeah, Norma, we got to take a break. I got to get back on time. Don't anyone go anywhere. I want to continue answering these questions, but I'm going to finish scratching Norma's lotto ticket as well. Just tell me how old you are, Norma.
I'm old.
All right, hang on.
Wait,
she's in her late 40s, early 50s. I want to know how she ended up with the Sweetie and the tile job and what happened to the first
Something's
guy
amiss.
And why two of her kids aren't talking to her. We'll get to that next.
Hey, this is Seth Green, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. And if you didn't know that, you've got to pay more attention when you're driving.
Seth will be in a couple of few. First, we'll mop up with Norma. Norma started with an innocent home improvement question about tiling her pool. But I heard much more in Norma's voice. Norma?
Yes, sir.
You've been divorced?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have children?
No.
No children?
No children.
Sterile?
All I want to do is know about Adam's, about Teresa's boyfriend and talk about my pool.
Norma.
All I want to know about.
You're barren, aren't you? Can't you see?
Let's talk about your gene pool for and the tiles on that, shall
That's
we?
That's right. Let's retile that gene pool. What's the matter with your eggs, sweetie?
Oh, well, Adam, not everyone wanted to have children.
Right.
You didn't want any kids, Norma?
No.
What was wrong with that first husband?
What was wrong with your dad that you didn't want kids?
Nothing. I was very lucky. I had both parents.
Mm-hmm.
I was very lucky.
Two alcoholics.
Oh, no.
They both drank?
No.
Mm.
Do you want to talk about my...
Pill poppers.
No. I was real lucky. I had a real Ozzy and Harriet.
Sure. You cheated death many times at the hands of your drunken pedophile grandfather, yes?
No.
He touched you?
No. Not everyone.
He was too
that.
Loaded to touch you. He wanted to touch you.
His greasy hand slid right off.
Like Britney Spears on a $5,000 dress.
Right, this poor right, woman so. Just wants help with her pool.
Yeah, so I drain the pool, and then how do I get all the tile from the inside of the pool out? Do I just...
Well, first, Norma, the tiles have to want to be removed. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
you're gonna bust out all the tiles that are up against the coping at the top of your pool there?
That's the right word. Well, the problem is I'm sure that if I take the tile off of the jacuzzi, I'm never going to get it to look like it's a team.
Look, there is a tool that's been around for many years. It's one of the most effective tools you can find for this job. It's called a Mexican. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of those.
Yeah.
Heard of those?
Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Because
they have them at Home Depot.
You need a hardworking guy who's going to work an air chisel out in the sun for 8 hours, and that ain't going to be you, baby.
Oh.
Air chisels, what you... That's what you want. Do you have an air compressor, Norma?
As a matter of fact, no.
All right. I didn't think you did.
Do you have a Mexican?
No.
Do you have a Home Depot nearby?
Yeah, but I could... but I am capable of taking the tile.
Nobody's
off
saying you're not, sweetie. Now put a nice cold compress on your forehead and get a Mexican over there to take care of business.
Adam, besides the fact that you're being mean to me, it is, I can't tell you how much pleasure that I get from hearing all three of you. You are really a kick. But I wish that Teresa got more airtime.
Thank you, Norma.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much for all your help, Adam.
Thank you, Norma.
Good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a big job she's talking about doing. All right.
No.
Very quickly. Kevin?
No.
Yes. You have holes in your wall?
Yeah, I punched a few holes in my wall.
You punched a few holes.
Yeah, I'm a renter, so I need to get them fixed.
Uh-oh.
So I was way off. Because I saw on the screen it said punched holes in walls. I was thinking your company went public. You made a killing.
Right.
And you were celebrating by punching holes in a wall. Or the champagne corks is what did it. But you're saying you're living in a crappy apartment outside of Vegas?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry, buddy.
Why did you punch the holes in the wall?
I guess a big reason is Teresa never responds to my MySpace messages.
Oh, no. I'm a little behind in my MySpace.
You punched a hole in his heart, buddy.
I'm so sorry.
Listen, sweetie pea, there's not enough spackle and fix-all to patch up that heart.
What can I do to spackle up?
Maybe just, a friend request. I don't know.
Kevin, I'm sorry.
You all right, baby?
I'm sorry.
You want me to walk you to the car?
Could you? I can't finish out this.
All right, Kevin, we've deemed you a weirdo, and thus
in a chilling twist, he made love to the corpse.
We're out of time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, although, listen up, Kevin, your favorite, Teresa Strasser, and evidently our last caller's favorite, too. Miss I Don't Get Enough Airtime is going to get a chance to shine in a little something called the news. Tease a story, T.
Kevin and Norma, I dedicate this to you. Larry, I'm not gay. Craig is speaking out, and so are his kids. Also, I'll give you the highlights of yesterday's View with Whoopi Goldberg.
Scintillating. Fire up the pterodactyl. We'll be back for that next.
Coming up, Ace Man talks about his brand new exotic pet. We'll break down another episode of PBS's Huell Hauser.
Oh my gosh, look at all of these marbles.
Some classic calls from the Crank Anchor's vault.
Yay!
And Family Guy's Seth Green.
I don't like to be touched.
Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it was, but now I'm handing the reins over to the beautiful but seldom heard from Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Senator Larry Craig says he regrets pleading guilty to disorderly conduct for allegedly soliciting gay sex from an undercover cop in a bathroom at Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport back in June. He's going to fight to have the plea expunged. He's now saying through a spokesman that it's not such a foregone conclusion anymore, that the only thing he could do was resign. Mm. So there's
Danny
some chance.
Danny has an expunge, too.
Really?
Gretchen.
Expunge. No, ex-wife, current sponge.
That's right.
Well, there's some chance, apparently, that the senator is going to try to retain his post. Meanwhile, his kids...
In the bathroom?
No, as
Where
senator.
Where is his post, huh?
In the Senate.
Oh, he does that as well.
Inside the glory hole.
He's going to maintain his post inside the glory hole.
His kids were on
Someone's got to hold a vigil in that glory hole.
His kids were on Good Morning America. Son Michael and daughter Shay. Diane Sawyer asked them.
You know what Shay rhymes with?
Yeah.
That's right.
Way?
Bay.
He's gay!
Oh.
Here's what she had to say.
No.
That
he's
would
still
be
our
more...
dad. Yeah. He's still granddad to all the kids. It wouldn't matter.
Nice.
And I don't think that's the issue. It would matter to my mom.
They don't
mom,
care if he was gay.
But gay or straight, that part doesn't matter. It was a matter of an accusation of a lewd, immoral, illegal act.
Now, for the record, they said that they believe their dad is absolutely not gay. They sat him down. They talked to him. They said, don't give us any spin. Just, was there anything that happened in that bathroom? And the senator said no. So,
Daddy
look,
said that in the bathroom. Don't give me any spin. The guy might not have thought he was gay.
Somebody is going to need to bust out a telestrator on this one. Because I've heard about it, pardon the pun, orally 1,000 times. Mm. I can't picture it in my mind's eye.
You need the X's and O's.
I need some guy. guy with one of those magnetic chalkboards like they use in traffic school to really lay out what the hell's going on.
Well, then,
the stall is 36 inches wide. He's sitting on the pot. His right foot spills over into the next stall. Then he reaches down and brushes the guy's hand, which is supposed to be code for. All I know is, when you're in that situation in a public bathroom, especially at an airport, your job is to not only avoid everyone physically, that is making contact with anyone, you avoid eye contact with people. You actually look at your feet while you walk. You find a empty urinal. You will move over and leave a space between you and the urinal and between the one the next guy's using yours, just to avoid that.
No, it's like the room is filled with everybody is Prince, the singer.
Right.
That's immediately try not to make eye contact because that's the law.
Well, short of a Warren Commission report breaking down what went on in that bathroom stall.
I think Warren's gay.
I do have an explanation of what happened from the senator's son, Michael. Here is how he explains it.
He's a victim of circumstance. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. In a normal world, if you would accidentally bump your foot up against someone else's and you would say, excuse me, that person certainly wouldn't press charges on you. Mm-hmm. Unless they were perhaps an undercover police officer looking for an interpretation of what that meant.
Look, here's the real problem. Dad's gay, but Dad has made a career over bashing the gays, and now it's hypocrisy, and now we want him out.
He's a victim of circumstance.
He's a victim of circumstance.
He was nervous.
Just quiet down. Look, this is the way it works. We don't care if you don't... Here's the thing. You can get a DUI... and we don't care. But if you've been leading Mothers Against Drunk Driving for 20 years and you get a DUI, then we care. Right. So listen, everybody, whatever you're trying to do, if you're going to be doing PSAs about cancer, let's not get a picture of you smoking a cigarette out front of a restaurant. Enough. Now, smoke all you want, be gay all you want, do all the drunk driving you want. Just don't get on a platform and yell at other people who've done it not to do it and say they're going to hell. That's all we care about.
I'm with you 1,000% on that one.
Right.
That's why I'm a none of those boxes.
That's right. This is be nice because if he got in a box every once in a while.
At first, I think it's a cigarette, and then enough drinks go by, and then I have no idea what I've got between my two fingers and my lips.
That's
it doesn't
right.
matter to me anymore after a while. That's what I think happened to this guy.
So I think, and I have to say I would say allegedly he is gay. And that's his own business. It's between him and his family and his God. Although, let me say this about, brought it up many times. I'm an atheist. Not agnostic. I'm atheist. Those who are talking about God, and I guess this guy's a Republican from Idaho that runs on a conservative family values platform. He's a strong believer in God. You don't think God can see into the bathroom stall?
It's got God's the everywhere. Ceiling.
Aren't you?
God doesn't need a ceiling, for Christ's sake, literally.
Yeah, aren't you worried that he's going to send you to hell? Or maybe you don't believe. Maybe you just talk a lot.
You really believed.
I really do believe that if you really did believe, you would not engage in the kind of behavior that you believe would put you in a place called hell.
I'm not
positive.
He's
a victim of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not positive. I agree.
I'm not positive I agree either.
Yeah, if you're doing the sex, you're compulsive.
No, I mean, I've done a couple of things and thought, this is going to cost me everything. Yeah. If I get caught, and I'm thinking one particular event that was bitching.
Well, now I have to ask.
Anyway, you can't because your dates would cause me financial problems right now. But I remember I was doing a certain thing or things with more than one person.
Right.
And I thought, if I get caught at this, I'll be ruined. And I stopped and I thought, and it's worth it. This one's okay with me.
But
if this ruins my life, this moment was worth it.
Let me add this. If you get caught, because you weren't worried about a all-seeing, all-knowing deity.
That's true.
You're worried about a wife or a cop or a custodian or whoever.
Wife.
I understand that. I'm into that.
No, okay.
That's what happens when you speed every day. You think to yourself, well, if I'm caught, this is going to suck.
But
I think I can make it.
Right.
And you weigh you weigh it against that. But if I thought there was a cop in a helicopter directly above my car watching at all times, I probably wouldn't do it. Travis on line two says the tax dollars to find gays and should be spent on finding terrorists. I did that jag yesterday, Travis, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, and it seems to be it's
your dad
pretty common. I mean, I've heard across the board that people are surprised that the airport cops spend so much time in the bathroom. Here's a story about a cop that did something very useful. Okay, we all know it's been hot. We all know it's been very hot. And Adam, you spoke yesterday about the difficulty of taking care of a little one. You go out, you got to put them in the car, you got to strap them up, you got to take care of them. Well, one 26-year-old out of Bend, Oregon, was in Nevada for a rugby tournament, and he has joint custody of his 2-year-old daughter. He had the daughter, so he took her to Nevada for this rugby tournament. While he was in Nevada, he thought, hey, why don't I stop by the Mustang Ranch brothel over in Sparks, Nevada?
Fair enough.
But he's got the kid. What do you do? What do you do?
You get two whores. One to have sex with, one to watch Junior.
That would have been a good idea. But instead.
Well, also, I think, you know, you just ask for one adult, one Junior, you know, at the box office.
But she's two.
All right, well, a lot, oftentimes kids get in free under age like five.
But unfortunately, he didn't think of that. He didn't think of that. So what he decided... Why don't I leave the 2-year-old alone in the car? I'll roll down the windows, and then I'll go in. So he went into the Mustang Ranch to have himself some sex for money. About 2 hours later, a security guard found the girl crying in the car and called the cops.
2 hours later.
Definitely not a Jew.
Now.
Yes.
It was 95 degrees outside the car, closer to 125 inside the car, even with the windows cracked. 125.
Now, was the kid windows cracked, doors locked? I guess you're counting on the kid not being able to open the door or get out in some way.
She must have been strapped into her car seat.
All right.
So, fortunately, this girl isn't going to have any long-term damage. She was treated for dehydration. She's going to be okay. But the little girl's been returned to her mother.
By the way, what's going on for 2 hours in the brothel? Is he at the bar having a drink at this point?
Here's the way the brothels that I am aware of work.
Yes.
You go in. First, you buzz the little beeper at the iron gate.
Right.
Where the little blue circle with the red neon open is signed. That's like code almost always.
Right.
They buzz you in. They ask you how much time. Some places have a tendency to actually give you a little form for your name and address. I guess they've been cited by the city, and then you write down Eddie Munster, 1313 Mockingbird Lane, and hand it back to the Korean lady.
Right.
Or the whatever nationality lady who happened to be seeing that
Korean
day.
Korean works, yeah.
Well, that for the one I'm thinking of is actually was.
Right.
Her name was June, and I loved her.
June.
She was
June.
Awesome. She was a great girl. Anyway.
June, may I have sex with you? Good stuff, Ace Man.
So... You go in and there are showers and saunas available. I just can't imagine if you're ready to go enough to take that chance. Especially if you're a married guy, you got a kid.
Don't
shower or sauna or do anything at all, but get June to do her work as fast as possible.
This guy, I must say, this guy's a horrible individual.
Yeah.
Because... We all know the temptation, those of us who have kids, to do that thing where you go, I'm just going to run in, grab a six-pack of soda and run right back out from the liquor store. Right. I'm leaving the car running. Yes, somebody could jump in and steal the car. Yes, a million different bad things could happen. But I'm going to give this person 33-second window to jump in and steal my car, not a two-hour window or whatever it is you're doing. So... If this guy thought, look, I have a problem with premature ejaculation as it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to run in there, grab the first chick who opens her mouth, run in the room, take care of business. It's going to be like a Benny Hill sketch.
Sure. Right.
You're going to actually hear that as I'm running. Then you hear, hey, you hear that sound that David Alan Greer makes after the lovemaking. And then I'll run right back out to my daughter. I'll fly right back out to the SUV and we'll be on the road again. That is still pretty heinous, but at least he had a plan. The fact that 2 hours later he was in there and they had to go get him, that's what makes him a horrible human being.
Well, is it possible that he was with June and he his concern for his daughter made it impossible for him to get wood. Because he was like, I should probably check on her. Maybe I shouldn't.
Mm.
Now the minutes are passing by.
Pretending I know anything about the subject at all. If you are concerned about the child in your car and can't get wood, then you go check on the child because you're failing at your mission. You don't right. go, wow, I only plan to cook the kid for 5 minutes. I'm now at a half hour of child cooking. This is not going to work out for me in any direction.
Go out to turn
Let's
the kid.
Uncook.
I got to go out and baste my kid. I'll be back in a minute.
That little thing popped out of its forehead that says it's done.
Right.
We got to get out of here.
Either way, horrible individual, horrible judgment, and he should never be allowed to hang out with this kid again. Although, I'm sure he'll crank out many more children, seeing as how he's 26, loves rugby, loves Nevada, and is semi-retarded. I guarantee he will start a new family or two and screw those kids up.
Yes, well, he's in the joint now for child neglect, but I would think he could be charged with attempted murder.
Well, certainly negligent something aside, yes.
Yeah, and all it seems beyond neglect. Well, yesterday was the premiere of The New View with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
The set was new.
Why couldn't he left her in the car baking for him?
That's right.
The cast was new. And, of course, there was controversy.
Of course.
The subject of Michael Vick came up.
Mm-mm.
And Whoopi Goldberg tried to make the point that in the Deep South, where Michael Vick is from.
Good name for TSV.
You don't
You've
see.
Been in the Deep South. It's a whole different way of life.
Sweltering and humid. But the people are very polite.
Tommy.
It's full of class rings.
Drank out of a mason jar.
It's so damn hot.
I'll tell you what.
Milk was a bad choice.
Smells like a mint julep. Now, dog fighting is not seen as a bad thing in the Deep South. This is what Whoopi Goldberg argued. Here's a little taste of Whoopi's first day on The View.
In the world that he comes from, it's not important. We have a different relationship to dogs and cats and things. It's like the Chinese. Yeah. They have a different relationship
Listen,
to cats.
Some countries are here.
They have a and you and I would be really pissed if somebody ate Kitty.
Hey, guess what else they do in the Deep South? They like the Confederate flag and they like to refer to black folks as colored.
Right.
Is that cool, Whoopi?
Well, that's just what it's
like. A little different way of life, baby.
Right.
You got to respect it, right?
Right?
No harm, no foul. We just like to fly the Confederate flag in front of the courthouse. Back off, baby. It's our thing.
I'm just going to say right now, Whoopi Goldberg cannot really be complaining that we'd be really mad if somebody ate Kitty. There's just not a chance in the world that she wouldn't be pleased, at least once.
Do you think?
Oh, wait.
Oh, no. No, I had to think of that now, Danny. See what you made me do?
Oh, I scar you for life.
Now I have to take a shower.
Can you imagine Ted Danson did that on purpose?
I'm just wondering if one of those nutty broads would have brought up the Confederate flag.
Well, ironically, I think Rosie may have, but she's no longer there.
Mm.
Rosie would really tangle it up.
By the way, if we are going to believe what we see on TV and movies about the Deep South, it's also okay to bone Ned Beatty and make him squeal like a pig.
That's right.
Well, of course, Elizabeth Hasselbeck tried to defend the poor doggies, but it was all sort of uninteresting. I miss Rosie.
Yeah, well, here's the problem with Whoopi.
Everybody?
Not funny.
Not funny.
Has not been funny in 20 years. Sort of political, has a lot of style and panache, but there's really nothing going on comedically with her.
Do you want to hear what Rosie had to say on her blog? Because thank God Rosie's still blogging.
Right on.
Just a little tidbit, just a little bit.
All right.
So we just watched the first episode of The View.
Yeah, it was very beige.
Yeah, they changed the set back to
beige. But I
meant
that metaphorically as well.
No, it was all right. It was good. Whoopi was good. It was okay.
Yeah, Whoopi was good.
But why did they change the set back to beige? That's an error in judgment, but all right.
No.
Oh, my God.
How narcissistic do you have to be just to shove a camera in your face and we can see your big fat puss talking 24/7?
Very bizarre. Well, I'll go out on this. Britney Spears has some new songs, and they've been leaked on the World Wide Web.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't really make sense because her camp is saying that the songs were leaked, and there's some talk that her record label Jive leaked them to try to hype the new disc. But whatever it is, let's hear a song called Everybody. You may recognize some samples from Sweet Dreams.
Everybody's looking for something. I'm ferocious when I
Because it reminds you of a song that you kind of liked 22 years ago. You know, I was listening to P. Diddy doing his Sting Police remake about how much he missed
Biggie.
And I thought, how gay and lame is this? First off, he ripped off. First off, here's what I said to my wife. I said, if this guy was white, he'd be tarred and feathered and rolled down a Bandini Mountain and buried in manure. That A is a was a. Well, here's the deal. Here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to write a song when you write a song.
Right.
This, we have a word for it. It's called sampling, but there's another word for it. It's called ripping off someone else's music. And there's another bigger word for it. It's called lethargy. I'm so effing lazy that I'm going to write a song, except for I will start with someone else's song and use that as the building blocks for my song. Write a song if you're an artist. Don't use someone else's song. And then there's that part of those songs, whether it's Beyonce or this one, where you go, I don't know, I kind of like that song. Yeah, the kind of part. That's the part of you that really liked the original song. Of course.
Do you want to hear a little bit of one of the other songs?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yes, I swear to everyone, just please listen to that stupid, retarded Puff Daddy eulogy to Big Daddy Lipston or whatever the hell it was, who died. Just listen to how corny and schmaltzy and, hey, brother, I know one day we'll be together. I know we overlook it. It's lame and retarded and schmaltzy, and he doesn't get enough crap for being a hack. P. Diddy, do we have it?
I don't even know what that guy does. He's just rich.
Is this the song, Brian?
No, this is It's Been a While, one of Britt's leaked songs.
Ah, this is it.
While Bri finds your song.
Please.
This isn't quite as good as the other one. You're right.
Yeah, because it doesn't remind you of a song you like from high school.
I was out at dinner last night, and they were playing a Britney Spears CD in this like really nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought, what are they doing? And then it seemed kind of hip.
Yeah, it's
that
retro.
They were in such a cool place, and they were playing Britney Spears songs. It's cool.
Like campy 70s architecture coming back. All right, let's hear this for a second.
It's bad quality, but it's good to hear you. Even though you're gone, you're still a team. Through your family, I'll fulfill your dreams. In the future, can't wait to see if you open up the gates for me. Reminisce some time. The night they took my friend. Try to black it out, but it plays again.
Just gonna open the pearly gates for him.
Can't imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half the breath. I know you're still living your life after death.
Hey, this sounds a little bit like that Sting song.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I like this part.
This part,
I
like this.
I remember this from when I was in elementary school.
Yes. Just listen.
He changes a little. I'll be missing you. That's from the original.
I'll be watching you.
It's totally different.
Yeah, you took watching and missing, which are totally different words that almost sound alike, and you got your own song now.
He came out and sang it in that white suit, and it was all heavenly.
Right.
When you said, at least he changed it to me, I'll be missing you, and it reminds me of you when you were in elementary school. I have to live like that. I was discussing Carson with my girlfriend until I realized that stare on her face meant she thought I meant Daly.
Carson Daly.
Wow. I realized I had to blind her with a fork.
No.
You know, so there's one Carson
in
my
life. Fork, didn't he?
Yes, I did.
Well, thank Christ.
No, because I won't use a spork because we discussed those yesterday and I won't have them at a wedding.
Well, this was something that sounded like fork, yeah.
I got to put a spork in this news. I'm Teresa Strasser and that was it.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser, QCNN.
All right. Well, as we spoke about yesterday, my newest friend, the pterodactyl. That's right. 40-foot wingspan. Lives high atop the Arco Tower. Folded up like a lawn chair. That thing's got a 40-foot wingspan, but I can fit him in my trunk
when
he pulls them in.
Gargoyles, the cartoon?
No.
You would really, really like it, especially now you have Terry on your side.
Because it's very dark. As a gargoyle.
They know during the sunlight hours, they are, in fact, gargoyles on the statue and have to return. When the sun goes down, they come to life.
Ah.
And they're essentially Terry, and they're bitching.
That's what my pterodactyl
is. Yeah, you love these guys.
It takes people that shouldn't be here.
That's right. Swoops down and takes them to a volcano far away. I don't know what they do, and I don't ask. I don't want to know, but I got a list of people for him to collect.
You really do? You have a list?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
We go over it every Friday after the show.
Right.
I go over there, and we hammer it out.
You and Terry?
Me and Terry.
Okay, cool, because I thought he was making reference to you guys and then I'm gone.
And it's one of these things where it's a sort of, it's like a booking on a late night show, you know. I say, well, listen, Terry, if I had an ass full of Donald Trump, and he says, no can do, he's on the East Coast. And I say, well, I think he's coming out here to do a guest host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or some crap like that. And he says, all right, let's get the dates on that. And he gets his day planner out and he pencils them in.
Like, it's an important thing gargoyle-wise. Now, I'm not sure about pterodactyls, but the gargoyles can't fly. They glide exceptionally well and can hit updrafts and stay aloft for hours and hours, but they don't actually fly.
Danny, this isn't real.
What?
There isn't really a pterodactyl. It's a metaphor.
Oh, guess somebody get ready to hit the bleep button right freaking now.
Now, are these just your choices to save America? Or can people call in?
They can call in. 866-901-ADAM. You tell me who you want my pterodactyl to come scoop up. Maybe I'll throw their name on the list. Look, it doesn't have to be a big celebrity.
Right.
Could be your mother-in-law.
Your neighbor, absolutely.
I just want to know why. I'm going to need a good reason. Right. And Terry, once I find a good reason, yeah, Terry doesn't discriminate. He'll do my bidding for me, but I have to be sold. Right. And you guys, Danny, Teresa, come up with a name or two as well.
I got one.
866-901-ADAM. Who do you want me to send my evil minion to come to collect? We'll take a break. You tell us. We'll tell you next.
Yesterday on the Adam Carolla Show.
My pterodactyl sits high atop the Arco building, folded up. People think he's a gargoyle. Hey, all I got to say to Whoopi, the other ladies from The View, and all the cast of Grey's Anatomy, I'm in negotiations with a guy who raises exotic pets. You guys better use the sewer system to get around. My pterodactyl. Swooping down. Pow. The town cheers, and that's the last we see of these people.
Who do you think should be on Adam's pterodactyl list? Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
I stumbled upon my pterodactyl idea. Again, prehistoric flying bird. Wingspan up to 40 feet. Enough to carry the heaviest star.
Now, you compared that to a giant, to a private plane. To give them an idea how much that will carry.
40 foot. Came up with the idea last week when I was thinking about a lot of these celebrities. They're annoying. Not so annoying that I want to hire a sniper when they give a press conference, but I want them to go away.
Right.
I want them to be silenced.
Today
I think it would be.
Is a fanny party!
How satisfying would it be? There's Tyra Banks. She's had a press conference. Everything's roped off. She's up on the podium. The paparazzi's there. She's called E.T. and all the entertainment shows. She's going to announce she's taking her angel wings out of retirement.
Kiss my fat ass.
And all of a sudden, a huge shadow. And everyone knows what's happening except for Tyra, because Terry comes from behind.
Right.
Silently, like a thief in the night. He comes in like a Navy SEAL, and he just comes swooping in, and everyone just sits there very quietly, slides down, grabs Tyra, and then just off to the distance. We see a volcano in the distance. We don't know if that's where he lives, that's where he's dropping her. We don't know. She's gone. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask a personal favor?
Yes.
Can you just please retract that he's not real?
Yes.
Thank you.
He is real.
Thank you.
He is as real as I'm sitting here. So I got a list of people. You have a list of people. I want to know. I have, I like him to grab Bryant Gumbel.
Okay. No, really? I love real sports. Don't take away
I
real
like
sports.
I like the show, but he's such a pompous ass. He's just a pompous ass.
Don't take him.
I'm sorry. It's done.
Please.
It is done.
All
It is done sitting there pretending to read his notebook when they come out of break on his,
rattan
throw rug. And he's just sitting there, acting concerned, making his grunt. Had enough of Brian Gumbel. His brother can stay.
Okay.
Maybe you know why? Know why his brother can hang out? What's his brother's name? Greg Gumbel. I'll tell you why Greg Gumbel can stay. Not only is he a nice guy, not only is he not a pompous ass like Brian Gumbel, but he looks like a when they did claymation of black people in the 60s, like in that show Davy and Goliath.
Right.
That's what Greg Gumbel looks like. He looks like a black claymated character from the 60s. And for that reason, and he's a little over the lifting capacity of Terry. Again,
really?
He only goes up to three bills.
And he's been on the show.
The show. All right. Prince, of course, could go. As a matter of fact, I'd like to make an exception with Prince. I don't want him dropped into the volcano.
No?
I want that thing where he goes up toward the volcano, gets altitude, swings back toward the throngs of people that are watching in awe, and then goes into a death spiral. I mean, literally plummeting toward the ground. That part where he pulls his 40-foot wings in and makes himself into a missile and just heads straight toward terra firma. Then, at the last second, pulls up, lets Prince go from his huge talons, and sends him right through a commercial office building where we see the outline of Prince, complete with his guitar.
Right.
And Buffon, and then see Prince go sailing out the other side of the said of said office building.
Fine. You will hear a lot of doves cry.
Now, I have a question here. When they are picked up, are they immediately pierced by the talons at the shoulders so they are damaged no matter what?
No.
Or does he just grip them gently and we wonder what their fate might be?
We wonder what their fate might be, except for
Prince.
Can
you see I'm taking this incredibly seriously?
I do. Yeah, we'll see no blood. There'll be no screaming. Okay. There'll be a little sound of the alarm.
It's a live hang glider.
That's what it is.
Okay.
That's right. Now, it's not just specific people like, you know, Prince or Brian Gumbel or Rosie or Mark Anthony or J-Lo. That's a twofer.
Yeah.
That's a twofer.
It can take a couple.
I get a little volume discount. Eva Longoria, Trump, and Whoopi, and all those a-holes.
Right.
But it's folks that we don't even know the name of.
Yeah.
It's that guy who buys the cop motorcycle at the police auction, who's wearing the cop two-tone helmet, and is riding behind you at 53 miles an hour when you're stoned. Pow! Right off the bike. The bike just goes ghost riding into the sunset.
And they'll takes go far, too.
It's the guy who's doing 45 in the diamond lane. You know, the guy gets in the diamond lane, and then you get in the diamond lane, and then you look to the right and see cars flying past you, and you think, what the F are we doing in this diamond lane? If and we're going 20 miles an hour slower than the guys in the lane next to us, and that guy's looking in his rear view like his poop don't stink, and he goes, look, I got three people in the car, and I'm going almost the speed limit. Right, but the flow of traffic is going 70. You're going 53, and you're in the far left diamond lane. I want that guy stopped.
I could not agree with you any more than this.
Uh-oh.
No.
Danny's pulling his pants off?
Just showing you my
workout
pants with a zippered pocket, my friend.
Thank
there are certain things you tell me that I live by.
Tip of the cap.
The guy that's going under the speed limit in the diamond lane while people to your right pass you cannot be tarried enough.
Yes, I completely concur. The other guy who's got to go is Seacrest. And I know it gets said, and it gets said a lot. It almost become a punchline at this point.
Right.
I had no quarrel with Seacrest. Let him do his radio show. Let him do his TV show. Let him do his three TV shows and his radio show. No problemo until he infiltrated my beloved Super Bowl.
Right.
The holiest of days for straight men. He is now going to be on the Super Bowl. And then I found out the Emmys, and now I realize it's time to call in Terry.
It's gone too far.
I'll use my secret silent whistle. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You did?
It's silent.
That's right. That's right. That's what you heard. You heard the sound of silence. But his ears perked up, I guarantee
Simon
you that.
Garfunkel. As a matter of fact, Garfunkel can go.
I should come up with a alternate list of people that I don't want carried into the volcano. But I wouldn't mind if Terry dropped a deuce on the hood of their car.
Yes, I like that. Or on their head.
Because let me tell you something. If 8 ounces of pigeon can ruin your car hood.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what 370 pounds worth of flying bird could do.
Yeah, I'm so confused, consumed with Terry. I'm actually going to figure out a 40-foot wingspan and find out what this bitch weighs. I think you're underway in him.
Well, I'll give you a clue. He has hollow bones. Dave?
Right, very good. No marrow.
Good name for TSV. Dave?
This is Dave.
Yeah. Who would you like me to send Terry off to?
I'd like him to grab my nosy neighbors from Pittsburgh and take them all the way back to Pittsburgh.
Where are you at now?
I'm in Irvine.
Irvine?
Getting ready to go to work, yeah. A
huge step up from Pittsburgh.
We'll have to use the auxiliary tank.
I've talked to you before.
Mm-hmm. What's your nosy neighbor doing?
She comes over and looks in my garage. You know, I'm a single guy. I live by myself. I'm the guy that's got the boat, the garage, the liquid quarter mile.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she comes over and looks in my garage. Boat. I don't know. She's just nosy. Always looking in my garage. I look out my window and I see her walk over to my garage looking. It's like,
but meanwhile, while Terry's taking your nosy neighbor, I mean, other people, such as some of the other callers.
Yeah.
You know,
meanwhile, you got a neighbor who's looking at your drag boat while you're in the kitchen. Who gives a crap? Meanwhile, we got people like John out here from Vegas with real problems. Oh, wait a minute. That's Chris. John?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Nice, man.
Thank you.
I got a neighbor who comes around every once in a while and looks at stuff. Not my house.
That guy's in danger of Terry taking him.
By the way, yeah, Naughty Neighbor was actually a very good radio bit.
Mm-hmm.
We should actually take that man away.
Well, this guy has a drag boat in his garage.
Yeah.
A drag boat is something that's 40 shades of neon with a blown big block Hemi hanging out of the back of it with a bunch of chrome
pipes
all over it. And he sets it in his garage and he leaves his door open. Anyone, pilots flying over his house, will look out the window to see his drag boat.
It's like chicks in tiny little wife beater tank tops and no bras giving you the what are you looking at look.
Right.
Your boobs, lady. What do you think I'm looking at? You're wearing a sign on them.
His neighbor comes by and takes a look at the drag boat in the garage, and for that he wants her taken back to Pittsburgh, PA. I say nay.
Via pterodactyl?
That's right. John?
Yeah.
That's what Southwest is for, my friend. John, who do you have?
I've got Jared from the Subway commercial.
Yes.
I feel like he's ridden that train long enough. Yeah. This time he stopped.
The over-under on that Jared, when you saw him in his first commercial in 1964, I believe it was, for Subway, was about 4 months. The idea that we're going on year number 21 with Jared still at the helm, and I know what it is. There's not a human being alive that likes Jared. No one thinks he's effective. No one thinks he's a great spokesperson. He has the charisma of not only my toenail, but a piece of toenail that was cut off. It no longer has a blood supply.
Yeah.
The trimmings of my toenails that I like to leave in the tub is the personality that Jared possesses from Subway. But here's how it works. They started off with 28 franchises back when Jared started. They're up to 2,800 now.
Right.
And if it ain't broke, they ain't fixing it.
Yeah.
He's their good luck charm. He is as wooden a spokesperson that I've ever seen. The commercials are as generic and crappy as I've ever seen. Now he's in there with like NASCAR drivers and he's in there with professional athletes and it's like, hey, Ray Lewis from the Baltimore Ravens, what do you think of my sandwich? And there's some horribly strained wooden back and forth between those two retarded people. He is horrible. I'm sending you, John, I might not wait until Friday for this one. Hold on.
He's
on hold. I may call him out soon. Do you know what city Jared's in?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
If you could get a, if you could vector coordinates on the guy, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
I remember I was living in Houston for a while, and they were advertising they were the fattest city in the country, and he was going to come, like, be the grand marshal of a parade. So I'd keep my eye around Texas.
All right.
It's nothing personal,
please.
But he's over.
It's over. And Jared, if you're listening, you better be hiding in the subway. Do not hit the city streets.
Or just, be the Jared you were before you started, and then there's a good chance that Terry can't lift you.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Very good point. You balloon back up to 550. There's no way Terry can get you. Although he may have a number two with your name on it.
There you go.
Let's see. Let's talk to...
That's like punishment number two.
Abraham.
Number one is they take you away. Number two is they duke on you.
Number two is they number two.
Right.
Abraham?
Yeah, that's him.
Who do you have?
Hey, good morning, Adam. Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning,
speak
to you.
Hey, actually, what I got right now, Adam, I got the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Mm. Huh. I'm way ahead of you, Abraham. I had a talk with Terry about Al Sharpton. Been about 4 months ago.
Right.
He said no can do with the hair.
Oh.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah, I
said, well, I feel like you could grip that hair pretty good. He said, it's not about gripping. He said, there's an icky factor.
Oh.
You don't want to touch that crap.
You know, when you
says way too much relaxer, activator, right, whatever he's got on it. He has his limits.
All right.
He said to me, listen, I'm a hollow boned prehistoric relic with a brain the size of a pea. I'm not going near that weird head. It's the one guy he said no to.
Really?
I had him. I had Ron Jeremy. He said no problem. I had Buttafuoco. I said no problemo. I had Fidel Castro on there. He said done and done. But when I said Al Sharpton, he said I have dignity.
Well, he said I have an icky factor. I'm the pterodactyl with the icky factor.
Wow.
He said maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if you could fit me with some of those plastic sandwich bag gloves they wear over at Subway
Jared's
to make the sandwich. If Jared could hook me up with some of those gloves, I could put them on my talons, and then maybe, just maybe, I could get a grip on that greasy head of his.
Is there an icky factor on Joe Francis? Would Terry take him?
Says he's a personal fan. I talked to him about Francis, too.
Really?
There is a bit of a negotiation that goes on with some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say that you can take Joe Francis, but not on an icky factor, on a bad product factor.
Mm.
I was buying a set of unmentionable movies with my girlfriend, who has come just blossomed into this fun person to be with, like you can't believe. But she really wanted to see Girls Gone Wild. She said, I want to see real girls being stupid at spring break. She said something really telling. She said, I want to see them making mistakes they'll be ashamed of for the rest of their lives.
Well, that is why people watch it.
Like she's doing with you.
Yeah.
Dude, exactly. That's why I thought it was very
telling.
Why don't
you just get her a mirror?
Are you also capturing... Are you capturing her mistakes?
See a young girl who's making mistakes you're going to regret for the rest of your life? Go in the bathroom.
That's exactly why I told her this was a questionable theory on her part.
Has she signed a release like Joe Francis?
No, she hits delete the second we look at him. But I'm thinking about trying to figure out a wireless thing that remotes to a picture in the a camera.
Good
in the closet.
Time.
Yeah, always. Wow.
Hey, let me just get back.
But they
with
weren't
that.
Nasty.
The pig, yeah, the stuff.
The Girls Gone Wild, nothing.
Yeah.
No. Wait, what
it's,
about
Krista? It's a porn starter. Hold on. Abraham?
Yeah.
If you can get Sharpton into something with a hood or get him to put one of those nets on like they wear in the fast food industry, I think I might be able to sell this one to Terry.
Well, I think all I have to do is just let him know that somebody's being discriminated against at McDonald's, and he might be able to wear
good.
One of those.
He'll get into the smock and put the hairnet on. All right, smart.
Right,
right. Smart, Abraham.
Yeah, good work.
All right, we'll be in touch.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Who do you want to talk to,
Krista,
T?
Krista, on line 6.
All right, let's talk to Krista. Krista?
Hello.
Who do you have?
I would love for Terry to take Ann Coulter.
I've got to agree.
She's the queen of the blowhard.
But here's the thing about Ann Coulter, and maybe this is true with Sharpton and the rest of these people, I don't know. Ann Coulter, I think, is almost a performance artist.
Yeah.
I think she says things, and she incites people, and she gets people's ire up, and then she sells a few more copies of her crappy book.
All the reasons she should go.
Yeah.
I totally agree with Teresa.
But... see, here's the difference between Coulter and Tyra Banks. Tyra Banks believes her poop doesn't smell.
Yeah.
She believes her poop doesn't stink.
Right.
And Coulter announces to the world her poop doesn't stink just to get a debate going over her poop and then sells more of her books on poop.
Speaking of poop, for Krista and for me, could Terry just do a number 2 on Ann Coulter?
Yeah, I've almost had enough of Ann Coulter as well, Krista, but I'm just gonna have Terry drop a deuce on her.
I'll take it.
She's a small and frail woman. Who knows? That may be enough to take her down.
That could snap her like a twig.
Small? That woman's like 6'1 or something, at least in the heels she was wearing the night I saw her.
Well, thin. She's rail thin. The point is 40 to 60 pounds of pterodactyl flop dropped from 5,000 feet at a kind of a ballistic speed it will get to before it reaches Ann Coulter's right. head yeah. could be more than enough to drive her into the ground.
Oh, yeah, that might kill her. I mean, you see when they an airplane drops its load by accident, right. that blue ice cube,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and it crashes through the house.
It'll go through someone's roof, yeah. through the floor, and into yeah. the basement. Besides, Coulter has hollow bones as well, so right. she may snap.
So killed
like
by Terry Duke mm-hmm. might be a befitting death.
Scott has a good one.
A Duke of Hazzard.
Scott?
Yeah.
Who do you have?
I would say get rid of the Verizon wireless dork.
That would be nice.
You mean the Hear Me Now guy?
Yeah.
You could do a commercial. You know, you could have that. Have him doing Can You Hear Me Now? And then you could just have the pterodactyl come up right behind him.
You know, see if he gets cell phone reception in a volcano.
Yeah.
I was mm-hmm. thinking about that when we were talking about Jared. And you mm-hmm. started thinking, what was the over-under on him a long time ago? I remember my brother saying, when we first saw that guy on a billboard, what do you think that guy thought his odds were of becoming a household face where everybody would know? I mean, that's the most average nothing face ever.
I know.
And that guy's a superstar.
I wish he would go away and maybe Terry should do
Terry should do it.
Yeah.
We have Matt Lauer, someone I've been toying with taking away. He doesn't bother me that much.
Jury's out.
Madonna.
No,
Ty Pennington needs to
He's
go.
He's gone.
Yeah. I do Ty mostly on your recommendation, though, so I don't know anything about it.
Ooh, here's one. James Von Prague. That little yeah. psychic midget.
He'd know.
Yeah. No, he He's would not know.
He's a genius
if
retard.
If he would know that Terry was coming, I'm just going to pretend for a moment that Adam has bestowed upon me the power to send Terry.
Yeah.
If he knew that Terry was coming, then I wouldn't send Terry. But he doesn't know squat about squat.
No, he doesn't. Hey, Susie?
Yeah.
You have a very controversial name to put on the list.
Listen, here's the deal. Here's what I need. I need Danny Bonaducci to get an edge. He's lost his edge. So I was thinking that Terry needs to take Danny, but what I really think needs to happen, I think he needs to take Amy.
You think Amy is taking Danny's edge?
That's what I think.
She's stolen his chi, thus his thunder?
I hate to go there, but I
gotta
go there.
Wait, hang on. I'm completely cool with this.
Now, hold on a second. We need to take a break, but I'm curious what Susie means about Danny losing his edge. Susie?
Yeah?
Do not explain that yet. We'll take a break.
All right.
We're gonna come back, and I want you to tell us what you mean about Danny losing his edge.
All right.
And I'll also talk to the rest of you about your suggestions, of which my pterodactyl. Who it should take to the volcano. I have a few more. You have a few more. And then, Susie, you'll explain yourself about Danny losing his edge next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Ahead here at 6 o'clock, we have the attack of the cheese snacks. And forget 31 flavors. Two local teams calculate how many Cold Stone ice cream combinations you can actually come up with. And trust us, 31 isn't even in the ballpark.
Oh, and watch what happens when a girl's love for Brad Pitt goes too far.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. We have my pterodactyl. He's got a 40-foot wingspan, hollow bones, and he is not only a bird, which makes him mean, he's a prehistoric bird, which makes him that much meaner. People don't realize how mean birds are.
You know, the mean guys get at around 80.
Yeah.
Imagine being 65 million years old, how cranky you'd be.
That's right. And he would be flattered if you called him 65 million years old. Oh, yeah.
Well, he takes annoying people, and caller Susie feels that he should take Bonaducci's girlfriend, Amy.
He takes them up, and he drops them somewhere in a volcano. I don't want to know, frankly, what he does
with
them. They're just gone, and we're better off for it. But Susie says he ought to go after our own Bonaducci. Susie?
Yeah, Adam.
Because Bonaducci has lost his edge?
Listen, what you got to know is I started listening to the show when Bonaducci came on board. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I put myself in the camp of a fan of Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But here's the deal. Ever since Amy came into your life, it's gone downhill. Mm. And I hate to break it to you, Danny, but I think you need Amy to be more of an enabler. I don't think she enables you enough.
Okay, dude, this is so funny that I just had this phone call last night with my sister. How do you know that I'm telling you people the truth? I have a contract here where there are certain things I cannot do. So if I was being enabled by the current girlfriend, I couldn't possibly tell you. And now I have found recently that TMZ reads my MySpace every day. So I can't even tell you on my MySpace if I am being enabled.
What do you mean enabled? Yeah. What do you mean Susie's an enabler?
I might have boned Amy and a goat last night while on Quaaludes.
Let me get some clarity. Susie, do you think that Danny has more of an edge if he's using and drinking?
No, no. I think that Danny has more of an edge if he's a little less happy.
You know what? I worried about this when I fell in love, and Adam said something reassuring. He said, Teresa, you're Mike Tyson crazy. You'll never run out.
That's right. Yeah. I think I may have used a C word, but either way.
I think so.
Danny's got a script going, all right? And Danny's script internally is that he's got that artist mentality. And an artist needs a little bit of, you know, a little edge.
All right, hold on 1 second, Susie. Let me just get a little clarity. First, I said to Teresa, a lot of people, I was using boxers, a lot of boxers get rich, they get off the mean streets, they lose the so-called edge. Eye of the tiger, and they get soft, but I said, not Mike Tyson, he's still nuts.
Yeah.
He still bites people and raises exotic animals, and that's what I meant about T. Doesn't matter how successful you get, doesn't matter how deep in love you fall, you'll still be a crazy C.
It was reassuring.
Right back at you, baby. What they're saying with Danny is Danny is getting laid, and when a guy gets laid, sometimes, you know, there is that theory, and I sort of subscribe to it, that everything a guy does, in essence, is to get laid.
Sure.
Right. Oh, sure, he's going off to work, but he's going off to work to make money to buy a sports car to get laid.
I believe I said my first day on this show that there are only two subjects in the world, money and sex.
Right.
That's as far as I'm concerned, those are the only two things really worth discussing, because whatever you're doing is to accomplish one of those. Okay.
Right.
Get one of those.
Maybe there's a gender difference, because if everything a guy's doing is to get laid, once he's getting laid, he may lose his edge a little, but for us, if we're happy, maybe that'll make us more effective at our job.
Mm-hmm. But I think Susie's contention is, if I didn't make that up, is that Danny is now getting sex on a regular basis.
Actually, on an irregular basis, because I have to back up statements I made early on, that I need sex this many times a day. I've, on a couple of occasions, had to have sex when I really didn't want to, just so she wouldn't think I was backing down.
Yeah.
That's not good.
You're saying if he had a dry spell, he'd get his eye back.
So Terry just needs to take Amy, maybe just for like a week or so.
Okay, is that possible, Adam?
I'm worried
this would be the perfect week, or at least the next, say, 3 or 4 days.
I'm worried about the crowd. See, I don't mind Amy being away from Danny for a week. Yeah. I worry that Terry collects Amy, drops Amy in the same volcano as Prince and Al Sharpton, and she gets corrupted.
Oh, no. She's a sweet, innocent girl.
She comes back chewing gum with a gold tooth, saying she's got a record contract now.
Yeah.
And actually, she wants to be referred to as her symbol.
Right.
I can't even imagine what her symbol might be.
She starts looking down her nose at people like Bryant Gumbel.
That's right. She comes back wearing a purple crushed velvet cape and says she's going off to Minneapolis to pursue a recording career. You know what I mean? She gets dropped in a volcano with the wrong crowd. It's a real concern.
No, I just never thought of the, you know, I think of the wrong side of the tracks. I never think of the wrong side of the volcano.
She grew up on the south side of the volcano. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing?
I'll kill that bitch for making me happy.
Who do you want? Do you want Terry to pick up?
I think we need to get rid of the Burger King King.
Ah, the creepy Burger King King.
Nice.
Very good.
He's destroying football games. He's scaring little kids.
I think he's going to end up next to Jared.
He is freaking me out, the guy with the weird plastic head. Wouldn't it be insane if Terry came down, swooping down out of the night sky, grabbed the Burger King guy, grabbed his helmet, popped it off, and it was Al Sharpton inside the uniform?
And he couldn't get hold because it just slipped off his head.
Slipped right off his head.
Interestingly enough, though, big plastic head burger guy, Jack, I think can stay.
Mm-hmm.
Jack in the box.
No problems. I think he's cool with Jack.
No problems with Jack.
Funny stuff.
Listen, you know who's on the edge? Both PC and Mac guy.
I think the Mac guy and the PC guy.
I think they can both. He can take one in each talon. Bye.
Yeah,
I agree. It used to be just the Mac guy, because the Mac guy was insane.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Mac guy has infected the PC guy, so they're both insane.
Yeah,
they fight it out for an instrument that does the exact same thing.
I may send him on a general commercial spokesperson suite.
Can you please get rid of the glad bag girl with the crazy pixie haircut and the crazy voice?
She's gone.
Thank you.
Don't think about it again.
It's over. She's gone.
Although you can get that hot older German chick from the overstock.com. Drop her off at the Corolla place.
Can you do that too?
How about the Orbit white teeth chick? Oh, please. She must die.
Can't figure out if I want to F her or kill her.
Both.
Possibly both.
Yes.
And not in that order.
No,
yeah,
right.
No.
Yes.
Both and once twice.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Steve?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How
How's
you doing?
How's that for an edge? We're boning a dead blonde English chick.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Hey, how could that be bad?
Steve, who do you think Terry should take?
Well, I don't know if Terry can take this one because she probably ate all the fat that Jarrett lost. I'm wondering if Terry can even lift Rosie O'Donnell.
We've discussed Rosie. Yeah, she's a little out of his capacity.
Because I know the spruce goose even flew, but, you know, I think it has more weight if you got Rosie.
Yeah. He looked at me and said, so what am I, C-130? He's Jewish. Yeah.
Right.
He's a Jewish pterodactyl. He's 70 billion years old, and he's still a Jew. Flies the yarmulke on the back of his pointy pterodactyl head.
It's pinned on.
All right, one more. Let's see.
People are so generous. They're not picking ones for themselves.
I'm going to go with Spencer here. Spencer?
Yeah, Adam.
Who do you have?
I got Dr. Phil.
I've got to tell you. I've got to tell you about Dr. Phil. Because
are you effing stupid?
I had a discussion with my pterodactyl about all these so-called sort of expert life coaches who just give you the retarded no ass advice.
Yeah.
You know that you want to lose weight, you better start exercising and eating your leafy green. Yeah, no ass. I talked to him about Dr. Phil. He said, we got two problems with Dr. Phil. He's not over the weight limit, although he's close.
Yeah. Right.
He's coming in about 265, 270.
He does have that bald head.
Problem is, the bald head mixed. So the bald head mixed with hovering near the rosy weight limit.
Yeah.
It makes him what we like to call a... T.S., a tough snatch.
Okay. Yes, it's a T.S.
Another good name for T.V., by the way. Terry calls, so I'll say to him, Dr. Phil, he'll go T.S.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a lot of extra seed if you're going to want me to go T.S.
I must personally say, and I don't often do this, it's not that I don't disagree with Adam, I just kind of keep quiet. But on this time, I must disagree. I happen to think Dr. Phil is a genius. Mm-hmm. Serves mankind, has been a benefit to many millions of Americans. And I say that freely and with no good reason to be stifled at all.
Hold on, your phone just went blank. Dr. Phil called you?
No, it's Dr. Phil's primetime nighttime special I'll be filming on the 19th. I love that man. I think if anybody can save my marriage or make me unhappy with Amy so I have my edge back, it is that genius. Dr. Phil.
Let's get some hookers and some coke and go crazy.
I told you that's my boy.
Him the Ace Man said when he heads out to the limo, do it in a serpentine-like fashion.
Right. Now I know
Serpentine
me.
Phil.
I know
serpentine Phil's
Phil. A TS, but can I just say... I know it's a tough snatch, but can I say to Terry, if Pterodactyl's listening, here's what I have against him. He wrote a dating book. He's been married 30 years.
Sure.
He wrote a weight loss book.
Sure, he was divorced 30 years ago. Right. Who else could write dating?
He thinks MySpace is a furniture store. He doesn't have any idea what's happening.
Well, he's next.
He's a genius.
Unless he's wearing too much scalp polish. But again, Terry, if you're listening, excuses. They're like a-holes. We all have them and they all stink. Mark, last one, just because Mark is speaking to me. Mark?
Yo, how are you?
Who do you want?
Chris Angel, Mind Freak.
Done and done.
Pick him up by a nipple ring and...
Done and done.
You know what the cool part is?
I'll have him go after David Blaine while he's out.
The cool part is everybody'd think that it was a trick.
Yeah.
That it was part of his act. Nobody even freak out. They just watch him. He'd be screaming.
Could be a rating bonanza for him.
Help me. I mean, everybody'd be going,
good point.
Mind Freak. Excellent pterodactyl trick.
I'll have to do it while he's on vacation. I know. He's on top of every hot starlet in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
That guy.
Let
me tell you the real Chris Angel. First off, I'm sure his name is like... Chris Derigelli or something like that. He seems like a paisan from New Jersey.
I'm guessing.
when you talk to that guy in real life, you realize this is one of the simpler guys you've ever met in your life. Yeah. Nice guy. Nice as hell, but the whole mystique thing is gone the second he opens his mouth and you talk to him. Super friendly, super regular
He's a
guy.
Guido from Jersey.
He's a Guido from Jersey. He handed me and Dr. Drew a spoon that was lighter than a plastic spoon, except for it was made of metal. And he said, "You see this spoon? I brought this spoon in with me." And I saw it, thought, okay. And he told us to both examine it. It was the kind of thing where I grabbed it. My hand went up. It was so light. And then he said, "Give me that spoon." And he set it down on the desk in front of us. And he rubbed his temples. And the spoon began to bend. And I thought, where'd you get that? Which novelty store did you buy the spoon at? I could buy one of those spoons, too. Now, if you want me, if you want to walk with me back to the kitchen, I'll grab a spoon from the drawer. And we can conduct this experiment again. But if you're going to bring your own spoon in,
right.
I don't think it's a great idea. It's like if I make you a bet that I weigh under 150 pounds, I can't bring my own scale in to weigh me on. We'll have to use the one the doctor brought.
When I was doing stuff with the Partridge Family and they realized that none of us had any real talents and or skills, but we sold tickets to just show up.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was a magician and we just went to the magic store, and there are magicians who are incredible dexterity, can do amazing things right in front of you, you don't know what happened, and there are tricks you can buy that perform themselves. That spoon may just bend at over 85 degrees. Then
right.
He keeps it cool until it's time to hand it around, and then it just does it all on its own. You can just go to a good magic shop and impress the bejesus out of stupid people.
Usually when a guy brings his own spoon to a nighttime radio show,
it's for blow.
It's not just one he grabbed from a random drawer in a random kitchen. It's the one he grabbed from the drawer in the magic shop.
Right.
All right. But either way, he expected me and a guy who has the word doctor in front of his name to be blown away by the guy with the spoon.
Real name? Christopher Nicholas Sarantankos.
That was amazing.
And I'm from East Meadow, New York.
That's a better shocker.
That's a better trick than I've seen him do.
See, I would be much more humble if I was ever wrong about anything. Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break.
What was that? Did anybody like clanking sound?
This was so satisfying.
I think it was Adam's balls just slamming right there. Yeah.
We've tossed Huel in the volcano temporarily because we're going to bring Seth Green in. But we have Lindsay Lohan's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Teresa Strasser. Sorry.
But it says, bring her my way.
Oh, we got Whoopi Goldberg, the Olsen twins,
we'll
Done and Done, Energizer Bunny. There's a lot of people. All right, we're going to keep this.
It's fun.
We'll do this next week. We'll do it every week until something happens, like he pulls a groin. We'll take a quick break. Seth Green from not only Family Guy, but just about everything on the Cartoon Network and everything in the movie theater. Seth Green in next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. From Cartoon Network's Robot Chicken.
You're George Lucas!
I take it you're here for the Star Wars convention.
I sure am. Want to see my costume? See? I'm a Tauntaun. But I don't have to tell you. You invented Tauntaun.
Well, that's serious.
Listen to my Tauntaun call.
Nicely done.
And now, co-creator of Robot Chicken, Seth Green, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see, as usual,
wow,
Seth.
Somebody actually, pre-recorded that.
That's right.
The whole thing. Are you kidding?
We do our homework around here.
Thanks, man.
When I say we, I mean Dawson does a bong load and watches Robot Chicken in the back.
Much appreciated.
I want to say this about Seth Green. Great symmetry.
Face, man. Yeah, everyone says I'm symmetrical.
Facial. I've always said the key to attracting women, and women are attracted to symmetry. Everyone always talks about women wanting tall, dark, and handsome, or big biceps, or whatever it is. Really, what they want is symmetry.
Hmm.
Seth is not a tall man. He's a compact man, but he has great symmetry and thus could get laid with or without his celebrity.
And I have the ability to listen to women.
Do you?
Wow.
Yeah.
He uses his symmetrical ears.
My superpower is to listen to what they're saying and then react accordingly.
It's actually useful, isn't it?
Yeah, it really helps.
What is now? Are you? You're
it works
not
better than my original philosophy of just going, "Hey, what's going on?" Well, you know, just shut up.
Suck it.
Not as effective.
Why aren't you in my car yet?
But a super time saver. Because yes. I can tell 28 women to get in my car, and one of them will by the time you listen to one.
So it's all about just process of elimination.
Yeah, it's speed.
He uses a gill net. Not a fly rod.
A pool skimmer.
Right. So, Seth, you're not married, but you've been in a relationship for a while.
Yes.
With, what's her name from That 70s Show, who's also in... Isn't it? Don't
no,
you
that's
date?
Not true. No.
Oh, no, that's what's that's you know, that's Macaulay Culkin.
That's the other compact
solution. I always get these two confused.
But you were great in Home Alone.
Oh, thanks.
I have an excuse. I'll tell you why.
Now, before we go any further, I've got to apologize to everybody.
I have an excuse. The last time I did the Family Guy.
Oh, that's true.
Or maybe two times earlier, I saw her.
Yes.
Mila?
Mila, yeah.
And
she's a good friend of mine.
I think I saw you two, and then I probably somehow connected the two of you, but now realize, yes, it's Macaulay Culkin. Well, who are you dating then? Macaulay Culkin?
No, I'm dating a lovely girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Out of the business?
No, she's an actress. She works on that show, Jericho.
Bro, do you like that?
Do I like the show?
No, a girlfriend in show business. Because I'm never, ever, ever doing that
again.
I'll
tell you the truth. I swore that I wasn't going to do it either. I had no interest in dating an actress. But I met her, and she was just awesome. So,
see, I did it. I dated a girl that had nothing to do with show business, married her, and then wrote her a show that somebody actually bought.
Oh, no.
And we were in it together, and all of a sudden it's her obsession.
Is it good? Is it working to your advantage?
Well, we made a bunch of money and then got a divorce.
Her name's Gretchen Bonaducci.
It was. Well, that's it's mud.
That's convenient, though.
Seth, how did you meet this girl from Jericho?
I met her at a barbecue. She was coming out of the pool like Phoebe Cates in Fast
Times. Slow motion in a red bikini?
Yeah.
What was the song playing during that scene?
Who gives a rat's ass?
It was a bass line, yeah. Wasn't no lyrics.
Yeah.
Bald Brian, did you find this beautiful woman from Jericho? And is Jericho the show that got canceled and brought back by popular demand?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Kind of cool.
It's crazy.
That almost never happens.
The fans of the show sent in like 200 tons of nuts because somebody on the show said something about nuts.
Right, it's a part of the plot line.
Yeah, it was a political thing. It had to do with the war and refusing to, what's it called? Give up?
Yes.
Surrender?
Thanks. I was looking for that. It's early.
Is it Skeet Ulrich?
Yeah, I'm dating Skeet Ulrich.
It's an ensemble cast.
He's got two kids, but we decided to make it work.
Skeet? What the hell?
All right, so you're happy.
She's very pretty.
You're dating. You're thinking about marriage. You're thinking about kids.
I am thinking about none of that, actually.
Really?
I
don't.
Right now. No, we take it. The way this has worked really well is just by taking it as it happens.
I'll tell you, keeping
it realistic and not putting any kind of pressure on
I'll
it.
I'll tell you the thing. I'm now seeing an upside to dating somebody who's in the business. I never did see an upside to that. I thought it's got to be tough. They're on the road a lot. They're getting weird mail from weird guys in prison.
Especially girls.
And that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you the one good thing about it. Yeah. Most guys who are dating and who have been dating for some time are with a woman who's a school teacher, or maybe she's a secretary, or maybe she is whatever. She's thinking about having kids. She's thinking about settling down. She's thinking about getting pregnant. Right. She's thinking about all those things that most women think about.
My girl is thinking about working out and staying hot.
She's thinking about staying hot and not getting pregnant and not settling down because she's thinking about her career.
Yeah.
That's great because your career becomes having sex with her while she's staying hot with her career. And that can go on for 5 years, where in the real world, if she's a school teacher, after a year and a half, she's like, hey, I'm not pregnant. I don't see a ring on my finger. What's going on?
Well, the trick is the balance of it, obviously, because if you both work, then you spend a lot of time apart and you really have to work hard to kind of stay connected to each other. But the downside of it can be if one of you is working and the other one isn't, you know, the frustration
of competition
being
that happens.
Well, I mean, the nice thing is she and I are in competition because we're different genders and up for completely different roles.
Yeah.
So there's never like, oh, you're achieving this that I'm not. And
what
lucky
about money, though? What if somebody's making more money than the other one?
Would
in
you
the
be
same
upset
profession?
If she suddenly got
it? It just hasn't come up.
No, not yet.
That's because you're kicking her ass, right?
Yes.
No, I'm very sweet to her. I'm
not
her
kicking
nice
her ass in money. You're the successful. You're so green, man.
I've been working for, you know, almost 45 years
right.
now. And she's been at it for like 7, so we don't really, there's a sliding scale.
When you saw her coming out of the pool in slow motion like Phoebe Cates.
Totally.
did you think to yourself, please let her be even remotely intelligent?
I actually, sadly enough, my first thought was, please, please be 18 or over. Wow. That was the first thing.
How does this first conversation go where you have to deduce what she's of age?
She luckily was a friend of a friend of mine. So I was sitting with my friend and she came over to sit with us and then we all started talking together. And then she had a guy friend with her who knew another guy that I was talking to and I just started grilling him in the corner.
Right.
All, you know, secretively.
You got
I was
intel.
Like, hey, what's up, dude? Hey, is she crazy? What's up?
Seth would go.
Did she ever murder a man? She got any paternity suits pending? I'm just curious.
Seth told me in the past he'd use little codes like, hey, would you like a cold beer? And she'd say, yeah. And he'd say, why don't you buy one?
that would be a sneaky way.
That's good.
I thought you were going somewhere
That's
else
good.
With that.
Yeah.
My code is, hey, do you want a cold beer? And she says yes, and I club her over the head with something heavy.
How do you feel about the war? Would you like to serve?
Did you vote in the last election?
Yeah. Who'd you vote for?
No, I really don't believe in the political process.
Yeah, so you're not getting an answer. You and I, are you a donor? I don't believe you. Give me that ID.
You and I are shade off. My first thought when I see a girl that you could ask that question of is, wow, God, please hope she's 18. Is I think, God, I hope that girl is dumb as a stump. That made me just so happy if she was hot and stupid.
I've never aimed for them to be stupid because that always brings up a different kind of trouble.
I keep having smart, and it's not all it's cracked up to be.
I need a woman with absolutely no brain process.
Yeah, it's perfect. And she's actually brain dead.
I would imagine the electro waves in her brain, and if it's completely zero, I'm happy.
I think maybe
Danny wants to date Terry Schiavo. Yeah. He told me that many times.
I think she's available.
That's his dream woman.
Vegetative state is what he's looking for. I saw it on his eHarmony page.
You know what? You can throw her on the back of my Harley and just like cuff her arms around me. I can drive her around. It's cool.
Yeah. Nice. So he likes someone who wants to go on long drags on the beach. Yeah. All right, we need to take
a
break.
I've got a radio flyer and I'm going to pull you along in it.
Seth Green here. I want to ask Seth, we're talking a little Robot Chicken earlier, third season Cartoon Network. It is on all the time, but at 11:30 on Cartoon Network. And the reason I just say the times because it's on Wednesday nights, but Saturday through Wednesday nights.
Well, our regular show, like the new shows, come on Sundays at 11:30, and then
they show all the time, right?
We've done two seasons at this point, which is 40 episodes, and we're into our third season, so they have a ton of different material to run.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask Seth about
where to buy the DVDs. Oh, gosh, Adam, I think they're available.
We'll get into that. Also, a new movie coming up with Robin Williams and John Travolta.
Wow.
To figure
it's an,
out.
It's an all dancing, all flubber picture.
Wow. To find out your take on those two fellas. We'll take a quick break. Back with Seth Green next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault with Seth Green.
This is DJ. How may I help you?
Hi, DJ. Are there any men that work in your department?
Not at the moment, but there are from time to time.
Well, here's the thing. I have kind of a delicate request, and I don't want to offend any woman. I don't think me lascivious in any way, but my wife is a little person.
Okay.
It is our anniversary, and I want to buy her something sexy, and more often than not, we can only shop in children's departments other than having things custom made.
Uh-huh.
And she is small. She is about 3'5".
Okay, yeah.
Which causes some conflict when we go to amusement parks. She can't get on a lot of the rides.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that one.
It does, and we've been together 15 years, and let me just say, we know every inch of each other.
That's great.
You know, she's got a lot of sadness in her life.
Yeah, it'd be rough.
Her favorite food is like cotton candy and gingerbread houses.
Sweet, me too. Sugar tooth.
So I want to do something really nice for her on her anniversary by finding her good clothing. What do you have?
We have some really cute stuff, but I wouldn't say so far as sexy, because it is manufactured for children, so a lot of the parents get
For us to go shopping, you know, because little people, they have trouble standing for more than 20 minutes at a time. And a lot of times I piggyback her, and people are like, hey, look, there goes Luke Skywalker and Yoda, and that's very offensive to her. So she's a sexy, mature woman that I love dearly, and I just want to give her a hard night of passion on our anniversary, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, what about, like, costumes or something like that? Y'all sell outfits? I mean, she's into role-playing a little bit. Something like a fuzzy bunny, or maybe I could, I don't know, dress her up like a bowling ball.
We don't have anything like that.
You know, on Halloween, I put her in a pumpkin shell.
That's cute. I was that for Halloween one year.
You did? See, there's no real reason. It's just funny.
Yeah.
What about suits like that tattoo from the Fantasy Island?
No.
Like a nice pants suit or something. Are you married?
Engaged.
Oh, you are? Hey, yeah. Congratulations. That's one of the most beautiful things. Man, the day that I proposed to my wife, I had to lay down on the ground because I couldn't get down on one knee. I'm still bigger than one knee. You guys do any kind of swinging?
I'm at work right now. I can't talk about that.
You should try a little lesbian little person action. It might satisfy you in a way you never imagined.
I've never tried anything like that.
Yeah, of course not. That's why I say you should. I mean, your husband, you guys, I'm sure when you get married, it's the right thing to do is take care of your husband.
I agree.
I give her the oral.
Oh, that's good.
So you want to get in on this? You want to try out the tiny two-way?
I've got to get going. I have quite a line here, so.
Listen, I'll send her in, you know. You might miss her, though, because she's practically invisible.
We're always walking around. I'm sure we'll catch her. We got little one-year-olds we catch.
With big nets or just with your bare hands?
All right. I have to get you going.
All right. Once you go midget, you'll always have digits.
Okay.
Up in your butt. I'll see you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Seth Green doing a little stellar work.
I forgot about that.
That's Frank
nice.
Yankers.
That's nice.
Robot Chicken is one of his projects. Third season, Cartoon Network. 11 o'clock Saturday through Wednesday. Season 1 and 2 out on DVD as we speak.
Tearing up the charts.
Like the talk, we all always talk about the Family Guy, but what about the next movie, Old Dogs, with Robin Williams and John Travolta?
It's all true, yeah.
How when's that coming out? And
We're still filming it right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how are those guys to work with?
It's awesome. I've actually worked with Travolta a couple times, but this is the first time we're actually getting to do a bunch of scenes together.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of my scenes are with Robin, so that's a thrill for me because I'm a big fan of his.
What don't we know about John Travolta?
He's super friendly. I mean, I guess everybody knows that, but he's just one of the nicer guys that you could possibly meet. And he's really, really good to everybody on the set and real fun to be around.
I guess what I'm asking is, there are certain people that have certain reputations,
mm-hmm.
and he has one where
he's one of the most charismatic singer dancers of all time.
No. People think he's weird, possibly gay, but weird or closeted, whatever, or he has some sort of secret life. Maybe that's something to do with Scientology. He seems fine to me. Well, I'm not just kissing John Travolta's ass. I don't have any quarrel with the guy, but sometimes I think to myself, people get these reputations, and you think, well, I think it can't be true. And then you think, well, maybe it is true. How did it get started?
I don't know. I think it's really tricky being famous for a long time. And one of the realizations that I had working with both of these guys is that they have been no joke famous for over 30 years.
Yeah. Right.
Like, for real, catastrophic fame. For over 30 years. And that's just a lot to manage as far as public opinion, as far as career trajectory up and down. It's like you have to go through so much over so long. And especially in this information age, there is really no keeping any kind of secrets. And once a rumor gets started, once somebody says something, who knows where it comes from. All I know is that the guy is super talented and super nice to me.
Well, let me ask you this.
His wife is so hot.
She's gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh, his wife is crazy.
I want to ask about Jeremy Piven, because you were on a couple episodes of Entourage.
I love Piven.
Really?
Because
you hear some stories about him, and I hate to think they're true.
Well, he's a blowhard. At least that much is true.
He's a tough customer. He is a hard ass, and he's smart as hell, and he does not waste his time. But I love him. I think he's so talented, and... when I did Entourage, I just wanted to hang out with him all day long.
I lost all respect for Piven when I asked him, how did he get himself into every third movie that was being produced? There was a stretch.
Yeah.
There was a stretch from probably 96 to 2002 when he was literally in every third movie that came out. Piven played somebody's best friend.
That was the trick, is he's really talented and reliable, and especially when you're making movies, it's all about familiarity. So the people that hire you are like, oh, get me that guy who was funny in that last movie.
Right, it's a fairly small group of people who want to work with proven people. It's no different, I guess, than any other business where
you build up a movie like, you know, you're building an all-star team and you want to put your strongest players in the best positions.
No, in any profession, I was about to say, even in the trades, when I was a carpenter, there'd be guys that had good reputations and then there'd be guys who were drunk and late and hard to deal with. And the guys that had the good reputation, if they weren't busy, you'd be like, oh, yes, get that guy on this job. So Piven is that guy. But he just told me, and he wasn't being, he wasn't being facetious or exaggerating. He just said, every single script I get, I read front to back, every part, I bust my ass, I prepare, and then I go in and nail the audition.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was auditioning for half this stuff. He said he auditions and he just goes, but that's when I lost all respect for him. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no, just adding to what you were saying.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about Piven when I've interviewed him is he made me feel uncool. He has this way of speaking in a vernacular that he makes you think other people know, and you just don't. Like, he's hip and other people are hip and you're not. He's like so fast and cool.
Yeah, he is sharp
that you kind of go, am I, like, old and uncool now? Do I not know? Does everybody in radio world know what this man is saying but me?
He owns that persona. I was in a bar in New York, and he walked in, followed by, like, seven stunning women.
Right.
Not five. Seven. Not two. Seven.
Yeah. Right.
And all of them were like, ha, 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 we're having a great time with Jeremy tonight.
He's also one of the few guys I know who's getting younger. Not only is his vocabulary getting younger, his hairline is getting younger. He's actually looks younger now than he did in Very Bad Things, a movie that was made in 1997.
He's crazy fit, too. Like,
is he really?
Oh, my gosh, ridiculous. Anytime you see him on Entourage, you can see because he always wears, like, tailored shirts.
Yeah.
But especially in, what was that show? What's that movie he did?
Oh, he just did the with the smoking Aces. That movie?
I wasn't thinking that. It was actually this movie about his son's bar mitzvah.
Yeah, small independent movie. I can't remember the name.
Beating the Silversteins Keeping up with the Steins.
Yeah.
The Schmeckowitzes or something.
Yeah. Yes. You see him in that, you're just like, how often do you get to work out? Clearly a lot.
Yeah. He evidently just gets hair grafts and does push-ups at the doctor's office.
Right.
That's Piven. While he reads a script.
Nice.
He puts a script underneath him. He puts a young starlet underneath him, and then he does push-ups while reading the script and nailing the starlet.
How do you turn that page for me?
Right there, a gadget called the Perfect Push-Up, and Adam Carolla personally hung up my chin-up bar.
Nice.
So I will not be making fun of Mr. Piven for working out whenever he can get a chance.
You got to get a script and a starlet under you, though, like Piven.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of screwed.
You just got a carpet coaster, Bonaducci. That ain't no fun.
And I have to jump off the desk to reach the chin up.
I had that same scenario. I went to the gym working with a trainer, and there's that huge bar, like the standing thing for the Universal. And he's like, all right, now hang from this. And I had to give myself a little leap.
Yeah, I got to get on a box. Yeah. It's horrifying.
Well, I must say, doing a chin-up on a chin-up bar that you can't reach is still more satisfying than doing a chin-up on a chin-up bar that's too low where you have to take your legs and tuck them into your ass and your knees are hitting when you're doing it. That makes you just feel like a retarded giant.
I don't know how we got on.
I can do a good run of chin-ups. I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. Oh, no. The symmetry.
But that's the symmetry. But you could go the other way as long as you're on this and not tuck your legs behind you but hold a perfect L.
Yeah.
No. Still
that's the
chin-ups.
Real hard. That
can
works
you do
your
the L
as well.
Thing?
No. Yeah. I can do a small L, not a capital.
You
can do it in cursive.
Seth, do you think you could rattle off 12 chin-ups on Danny's chin-up bar out there in the hall?
I do.
You 12, do.
12 good ones?
12 good ones?
What kind of hampers?
The easier way, that way.
12. I'll do it any way you want,
Wow.
But hang them when you get down to
who
one.
Who judges if these are full?
I have fantastic upper body strength
really?
And low center of gravity.
12's a bunch, man.
You want to jump on that? I'll count them off right now. I'll see you right through the mirror.
All right.
You can, through the glass, I should say.
Okay.
And hop on Angie's shoulder. She'll toss you up there.
A little booster.
Kick the flip-flops off. I just want to get those two a-holes out of the studio.
Good job.
Let's do the news.
Yeah. Play the news song.
All right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Wait, Piven's on the bar now. 10,
11 and 12.
I think
wow.
He had a few more in him.
Yep. He put nice one job on for a good measure.
Wow.
Seth Green.
Yeah. He's a little powerhouse.
Just,
that's how you do it.
Just knocked off a baker's dozen of push-ups.
Yeah.
Because I, my friend, I would have knocked him out after enough. I'd have said, well, you know, when you only bend your arms to, like, well, 45-degree angle, mm-hmm. that's about two-thirds as hard as a real pull-up.
My trainer would be so proud.
He knocked his elbows out every single time.
Yep.
And the other thing is, I could do that dozen. But now I couldn't talk. I wouldn't be able to speak for the next 6-7 minutes.
I think it's the smoking.
Go do
you
it.
You think?
Danny.
The three packs a day?
So. I think so. But I'm no doctor.
Could be. All right. I was going to say Rebel Chicken.
Thank you, sir.
That's Seth Green. Robot Chicken. Third season, Cartoon Network, Saturday through Wednesday night. AdultSwim.com's where you go for more info. Season 1 and 2 available now on DVD. Look for Seth on The Family Guy and also... hanging out with Robin Williams and John Travolta, yes.
Really tough little bastard. Let's not just forget that at all. I'm impressed.
Do you
all
mind
the
little part?
I don't.
I have heels on. It's the only reason I'm taller than he is. We're the same height.
Counts.
Yeah. We're the exact same height. I'm
he's having sex with a 14-year-old who's just climbing out of a pool. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I think I want to do Huell Howser.
Oh, good.
We pushed Huell off long enough. Huell Howser. You got tease? Oh, let's do a little Huell Howser tease.
Oh, look. Oh, boy, you can hardly even tell what they are.
Yes, they're just kind
how
of
many are in
young
there?
Birds right now. There's four here.
It looks to me like two.
Wow. That's a Huell Howser who's visiting a blue jay farm. And he will level his report. We will make fun of his report. We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Ted.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Every now and then, we break down the game film from another episode of PBS's Huell Howser.
Many environmental issues are small and kind of obscure. And here in California, we have found one of those small environmental subjects.
This time, it's Huell Howser's California's Green on the Adam Carolla Show.
California's Green. Huell has California's gold.
Yeah.
California's green. I think he may have found Palm Springs white.
Yes.
On occasion or two.
And he has a lot of California's tax dollars.
Yes, he does.
This is amazing.
He's why communism does not work, ladies and gentlemen. He's been on the air providing nothing for 20-something years because he has no competition, no natural predators out in the wild.
Nope, not a one.
No CBS or NBC nipping at his heels. No Conan, Letterman, or Kimmel coming after his spot. No commercial sponsors to get. We pay for Huell Howser. If you don't know who Huell Howser is, there's probably a Huell Howser in your town, wasting your taxpayers' dollars as well. And now Huell takes his camera
inside the glory hole
and leaves the glory hole for the humble confines of the bluebird. Well, there's a group that is in charge of restoring the bluebird populace. And Huell is going to grab his microphone and talk to them.
Okay, our adventure begins. We have come to Fullerton, and we're starting this adventure in a very unlikely place. Fellas, we're in a cemetery.
Yes, we're here to see bluebirds.
Bluebirds. That's what this adventure is all about. An adventure that even though it's blue... is very much a part of keeping California green.
Wait a
second.
It's
that kind of riding that keeps Huell on top.
Wow.
Yeah. Boy, this is going to be fun.
After 20 minutes, we had to edit this, but I was watching it at home. After 20 minutes of talking to Huell, one of the old timers said, Huell, please push me into that grave. Just push me in. And he said, but you're not dead yet. I'll be dead shortly. Just push me in and start shoveling dirt on my corpse, please. Please, I can't take it anymore. So what Huell does is he gets his microphone, he goes out, he towers over everyone he speaks to, and then he repeats to them what they just said to him, but 10 times as loud.
I've noticed over the year that is his excellent trick.
That's
his
gig.
It's a pretty good trick.
It's what you do when you work with special needs kids. You know, the kid comes up. He's 8 years old, and he's like, I made a papier-mâché dinosaur. And you're like, you made a papier-mâché dinosaur? His name is Bunky. His name is Bunky? That's what he does. Unfortunately, we're all watching him, so we become the special needs 8-year-olds as well. Let's listen to a good example of this.
When you say fledge, you mean?
The birds have left the nest.
So you put up nest.
They lay the eggs.
They lay the eggs.
They hatch.
They hatch.
They feed them.
They feed them.
And after 3 weeks, they get enough courage to take their first step out that hole, and they fly away.
They fledge.
They fledge.
Wait, the other guy started doing it, too. It's contagious.
It's tough because...
It's tough.
No, stop. Hewell's on first.
He's on first.
No.
No.
No's the second baseman.
No's the second baseman.
Louie is the cameraman.
You're saying Louie's the cameraman?
No, Louie's on first.
Louie's on first.
Yes, that is Hewell's conversation with everybody. Let's listen to that one more time, just so you can get an idea of how skilled he is as an interviewer.
When you say fledge, you mean?
The birds have left the nest.
So you put up nest.
They lay the eggs.
They lay the eggs.
They hatch.
They hatch.
They feed them.
They feed them.
And after 3 weeks, they get enough courage to take their first step out that hole, and they fly away.
They fledge.
And the other guy, see, at the end.
Only at the very end. Just to show me he was right, though.
Well,
only at the end did he say they fledge. Up until then, it was all Hewell all the time, right?
Well, I'll tell you what happens with Hewell. It's like hanging around brothers. You know, you take a white guy and you put him amongst a few brothers, and 10 minutes later, it's going to be, what'd it be like, homie? And that's coming from the world's widest guy.
Right.
You get indoctrinated.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
Right. Kelsey Grammer would sound like that after 20 minutes of hanging around with some NBA All-Stars. No doubt about it. And there's no doubt that if we all hung around Hewell, we'd be like, that's amazing!
True that, peeps.
And we're trying to have conversations with people at work. And
conversations with people at work?
That's what it would sound like.
That's amazing.
That's what it would be. That's what, exactly what would happen. So these guys got sucked into his world. All right, let's listen to our next clip where Hewell meets Susan from the California Bluebird Recovery Program. You guys all just do the weight math on her.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Well, first we better introduce ourselves. Your name is?
Susan Bulger.
And you are a volunteer.
Yes.
Bluebird volunteer.
Yes.
What's the name of the organization?
Well, the California Bluebird Recovery Program is one of our affiliates, and also the North American Bluebird Society.
Oh, so you're hardcore bluebird, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Hardcore bird or hardcore bluebird?
Blueberder.
Okay.
The hell is
this? Fat person.
I don't know, but Mike and I got in a fight about it, whatever the hell he was saying.
What was his joke? When he mean a hardcore bird? When he mean bird, like just chick? Like an old bird, or like in English folks will call it a gal bird?
Mike and I both were with Bluebird Recovery Program, where he's writing down rehab as I'm going, I didn't know they had a drug problem.
Yeah.
We're all fighting back and forth over our joke. We're too busy.
Well, let's hear it again. I want to see what Hewell... That may have been an attempt at humor.
Yeah.
No.
Well, first, we better introduce ourselves. Your name is...
Susan Bulger.
And you are a volunteer.
Yes, that's
a Bluebird volunteer.
Yes.
What's the name of the organization?
Well, the California Bluebird Recovery Program is one of our affiliates, and also the North American Bluebird Society.
Oh, so you're hardcore bluebird, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Hardcore bird or hardcore bluebird?
Bluebirder.
I get it. He means, are you hardcore about rescuing all birds?
All birds,
or
yes.
Just the bluebirds? And she specified she only cares for bluebirds, which adds 27 pounds.
Ah, that's right. Is there a boring bird Hewell could interview? All right, now we speak to a woman. I don't know if it's the same woman. This is on the scintillating topic of nestlings.
Now Susan is going to show us, I was going to say baby birds, but that's not the terminology, is it?
No, they're called nestlings at this stage.
Nestlings. All right, let's take a look. This is exciting to see the
little babies, the, what are they called again?
Nestlings.
Nestlings.
Again, I make fun of you, but I'm secretly jealous. I really am. No, it's not secret. I am jealous. I'm jealous.
Yes, but what does Huel earn a year? I mean, I
don't know. Whatever the pay cut is, it would be worth it to
never have to think.
Yes, just somebody hands you a microphone, you go out in the valley and walk in a circle for 20 minutes and come back and you have a show.
For example, if you had to interview Seth Green and you were Huel Hauser, you just say, you were on Robot Chicken.
You're on Robot Chicken!
Yep.
Robot Chicken!
Yeah.
A show about a robot chicken.
It's on the Cartoon Network.
On the Cartoon Network!
I was also on Entourage.
Entourage! Robot Cartoon Network Entourage Chicken Nestling.
That's it.
Louis, you all have earned your pay right now.
Get a shot of this.
This is the second time I've said this today about something's going on the show, but I had this conversation last night. I said, yeah, my agent is coming in today to speak to the bosses about whether I stay or whether I go.
Well, today, that's
today. Today is the big day, yeah. Well, it's in the future. I mean, I'm here till January 2nd of next year either way, but they're going to start
talking. No. Don't take Danny.
No, I'm going after his agent.
The agent, okay.
But I was just talking to Amy about it last night, and, you know, people went through, there are some crazy-ass cities that think the Danny Bonaducci show might be an interesting thing, and she said, what would you do for the same amount of money? And I said, I don't really know. The truth is, the Dan Bonaducci show is really hard to do. You have to prep all day long. Adam's so friggin' smart, I can just go in there, wait for him to say good morning, start the show, and then just go. I don't have to do anything but be prepared for what Carolla might say, and it's a lot less effort than being the guy who starts everything. So I can see you're going, hey, you know what? If you didn't have to think at all, because to keep up with Crowley, you still got to think. It's not an easy job. It's not a freebie.
Well,
but to be Hauser, you don't actually have to think at all.
It's an interesting point. Yes, I would probably rather take a pay cut for less than half the work. I mean, ultimately, that's what jobs are. How much work you're going to do, how much you're going to get paid.
Right.
The guys who do the late night hosting, I've seen it on Kimmel, but I imagine it's the same for Letterman, Leno, Conan, and everyone else. Those guys get paid a ton of money, but they have no life. They bust their hump. Now, once you've done it for 20 years, I guess you get dialed in a little bit, but it's still a ton of hours and a ton of work versus what Huel does or maybe what Danny does. You get to hang out. You get to snipe from the weeds. You don't have to read a bunch of bios. You don't have to sit in an editing bay for 3 hours after the show finishes, cobbling together some man on the street bit that wasn't very funny. Huel gets to head out with impunity. He can't be taken off the air.
I'm one of the few guys I know, and I don't consider myself an actor, but I say this statement all the time about just being on television. I'm the only actor I know who doesn't want to direct. Mm-hmm. That guy's there first and stays last. The star gets to come in kind of last.
Right.
And then they make you as comfortable as possible and put your name on your chair in case you're too stupid to know where to sit and then load you down with money.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be.
Nail a chick from Jericho and call it a day.
Yeah, exactly.
So you knew what I was talking about, didn't you, bastard?
Yes. Huel is next going to see some swallows in a tree.
Mm. Oh, the jokes are too easy.
From the cemetery to the golf course. Are we still in Fullerton, fellas?
Yes, we are.
You just informed me as we were walking here on the golf course, you're not going to check on a bluebird.
No, I'm not. This box contains a nest of tree swallows.
So you're, pardon the pun, branch it out a little bit.
Oh, wow.
No two ways about it. That was comedy.
And let me just tell you what looking after birds will do to you in terms of premature aging. The guy he's talking to is 17 years old. That's right. It's the hobby that makes the man old. All right, let's listen to another of Huel's interviews.
Oh, look. Now, wait a minute. Oh, look. Can you see that, Cameron?
Mm-hmm.
Those are white eggs.
That's correct.
Oh, look. So those are what kind of birds again?
Tree swallows.
Tree swallows.
fuel. Evidently in the grips of dementia as well, because he can't remember Nestling, even though... they always say a good way to remember someone's name is to repeat it. You meet a guy and he goes, "Hi, my name's Larry." And you go, "Hello, Larry." And then you remember his name at the party. He says swallow Nestling 3,800 times. And then 10 seconds later goes, "What's that word that just came out of my mouth?"
Maybe Huel is doing a heroic job of covering up the dementia and working around it. Just by asking people to repeat themselves.
Yeah. Huel, also white eggs.
White eggs.
Never seen one of those. Couldn't even imagine what a white egg may look like.
It's rare.
Normally it's a rainbow of colors when I open that carton.
Or a paisley sometimes.
Yeah, never seen a white egg.
A white egg. Who could imagine such a thing?
I couldn't even draw one unless I could draw a bad circle on a white piece of paper.
Is that what an oval is? Just a bad circle?
I think if you get drunk and attempt to draw a perfect circle, you've just drawn a white egg.
You know what? When I get older and I my children are hanging out with the wrong crowd, I'm going to say you're traveling in a bad circle. I'm just going to say oval and save some time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Save some time. Hey, you're in an oval.
You're traveling. You're in a negative oval.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, let's hear Huel. He's going to wrap up the shindig.
We've been working on this for a long time. We finally got the perfect day with blue skies, with blue birds. This has been a wonderful blue story that's helping keep California green.
Again.
You know, yes?
That's the same joke.
I just had... but I just had a crazy thought.
What?
What if when the guy who's holding the camera says, "Huel, that's a wrap," he's like, "Oh, dear Christ, I couldn't take it with everybody's decrepit cretins for another 10 seconds. Hey, old man, do me a favor. Would you march your ass over to the liquor store and get Huel a cold one?" Then he puts on his sunglasses and he gets his agent on the phone. "Marty, how's it going over there? Did I get the gig over the Price is Right or not?" "Jesus effing Christ." And he throws his... "Drew Carey, that half a F. I'll chew him up and spit him out."
"He's half an F."
Half an F.
Half an F is like a small T.
"Get on your knees."
Takes his cell phone, throws it into the lake, backhands one of the interns.
"You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece."
Pops a couple Xanax, takes a draw off a flask.
We don't know what the real Huel is like.
Starts throwing a temper tantrum, trashes his trailer.
"Your malfunction, numbnut."
That could be the real Huel.
We don't know.
We don't know.
What a great actor.
That would be excellent. Yeah, just sits, pulls out a vial, a blow, does a bump. Gets his agent back on the phone. "Listen, Marty, I swear to effing Christ, I'll be at CAA so fast it'll make your head spin. Now listen, you little weaselly Jew. You get me off this godforsaken network. I'm tired of public television. I want big three. You understand? I will ball you up. I will crumble you up. I will grind you into a fine paste, and then I will do a freeze off your Jew ass. Now do it." And
he slams the phone. "I am the god of hellfire."
"Yo, it's time to roll. Yo, you ready now?"
"Yeah, who am I talking to?"
"Yeah, I've been taking care of these bluebirds on this golf course."
"Bluebirds?"
"Yeah, they're blue."
"Hold on. I got a call from my agent, Marty."
"Oh, it's sure. Marty. It's Marty on the phone for you."
"Listen, you half a heap. I swear to effing Christ, if I have to talk to another old timer about gravel or bluebirds, I will come up there and
Huel, you're needed on the set."
"Who needs me there, sweetie?"
"Check it out. These eggs aren't actually blue. They're white."
"What eggs?
The white eggs.
What eggs?
Isn't that amazing?
Nestlings, I never..."
Huel, Marty's holding.
"Are you listening to me, Marty? I swear to effing Christ, I will put my boot so far up your ass, you're going to wish you were never born. You hear me, son? Hold on a sec. What a tree swallow.
Action, Huel.
True, good gravy, there's a tree swallow. Marty, by hook or by crook.
That's a cut.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. That would be great. T?
Yeah.
The news.
Well, there's a millionaire who's lost. You heard about this guy, Steve Fawcett?
Oh, yeah. Very interesting story.
MIA. And also, new revelations in the Duke lacrosse case.
We will take ourselves a quick break. Oh, really? I hadn't heard anything about that. Give you some thoughts on Fawcett looking to break the land speed record. I'll tell you what that number is and who holds it. I'll give you a clue. Well, he may have inadvertently broke the speed record on the way to the side of the cliff.
The red-tailed swallow is the fastest flying bird, but it doesn't actually fly. It folds its wings like Terry.
Right.
And it falls.
You may take that one posthumously. I'll tell you the country that holds the record. It is not the United States. And I'll tell you what the record is next on the news. Treat you
kind. Can't get enough of Adam, Danny, and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla sucks and is a pedophile.
Go to the bathroom and take off your panties and come back.
Nice job, old man.
My body fluids are my own.
Drowning in bitch juice.
I have a small penis.
I have a picture of his wiener.
The Fantastic Whores 3.
Nobody cares.
Top Notch Bitches 5.
God, I work for a lunatic.
The Praying Sports Aficionado.
Pure comic gold.
Little Bald Brian's B-sides, the ones you didn't get a chance to hear on the air at the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's always nice.
I love that.
We get to hear us without having to open our mouth.
Yeah.
T.
Yep.
I'm going to shut mine momentarily and let you do the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Millionaire adventurer Steve Fawcett has set 115 world records or world firsts. He was the first person to fly solo around the world in a balloon. He was the first person to fly solo around the world in an airplane without stopping to refuel. And on Monday morning, Fawcett took off in a single engine plane from a ranch in Nevada, planning to scour the desert for a suitable dry lake bed where he could prepare an attempt to set a world land speed record. His plane has not come back, and now rescuers are scouring that same desert for signs of Fawcett's plane.
God bless him. He was trying to bring the land speed record back to the United States.
From
who has it?
Britain.
Really?
Yes. Well, look, if I said Mexico, you'd say really. They got a donkey to go 766 miles an hour.
Well, was it that Branson guy?
No. When what's his face? Lennox Lewis was the heavyweight champion of the world, and you said British. I said, really? I'm the heavyweight champion of the world. That's not how the heavyweight champ. The English don't get fast. They fight at soccer games, the hooligans.
The thing that's weird about the English is they have an obsession with speed. They always have. On water speed records and land speed records and air speed records.
Yeah.
They've always had an obsession with it. It's a weird thing. We haven't had it quite as much over here. We used to have the land speed record. We don't have it anymore. It was set by a Brit, some sort of twin engine thing. 766 miles an hour on the ground, everybody.
Wow. Jeez.
That's fast. Fighter jet speed on the ground.
That's, wait, say it again, the number?
766.6.
And the speed of sound is?
It varies depending on your altitude, but it's about 769.
Yeah.
It's right off the speed of sound. If you're going to break the land speed record, you're going to hear a sonic boom these days because we're up that high. But you're not going 500 miles on the ground. You're going 766 miles an hour on the ground. That is a very hairy record to try to break. He wanted to bring it back to America. Evidently, he died in his effort.
I think there's still hope.
I don't.
Really?
Who the hell's going to go 800 miles an hour on the ground here? The problem is we're running out of space. Obviously, back in the 50s, when the land speed record was 300 miles an hour, you could have yourself a dried salt bed that was 20 miles long and be fine.
Right.
Well, now it's going to have to be three times that long because we're going three times that fast.
Well, so you're more than likely to run into a Burning Man.
That's right.
Any place they've got that much space, there's some hippie doing something on fire.
Right. It's like, what happened? Well, a Birkenstock got sucked up into the number two engine, and then it was just a ball of flame.
Well, I hope they still find him. The Civil Air Patrol are searching for him in the desert. I understand deserts are very hot.
Yes.
And not a great place to be lost.
No.
But he is a survivalist, so...
That's what they say.
Let's hold out some hope. Now, there's an interesting... new book about the Duke lacrosse case. Mm-hmm. It was written by a legal journalist named Stuart Taylor. It's called Until Proven Innocent, about the Duke lacrosse players being wrongfully indicted by DA Mike Nifong in spite of mountains of evidence that they were innocent. Here, this author, Stuart Taylor, explains why he believes Nifong deliberately mismanaged the case.
I think it happened in most generally because Mike Nifong, the prosecutor, was desperate to win an election. The reason he was desperate to win an election was not that he wanted to be a big shot politician or the governor. He was worried about his pension. He was a career prosecutor. His pension would be a lot lower if he got fired by the person who was going to beat him in the election, which was what would have happened. And therefore, he was desperate to win. And the way he decided to win was by exploiting and demagoguing this case to inflame the black vote into a frenzy of hatred of these innocent defendants.
Mm. Pension.
Yeah.
It's all about the pension.
Nifong is as bad a criminal as the people he attempts to prosecute. And especially in this case, when they're innocent,
yeah.
He knows it. He knows the facts. This guy should be locked up. And I hope, I know he's been disbarred. I think he's been, or at least it's pending.
It's pending.
It's pending, yeah.
Look, it doesn't matter to me whether you go out and ruin somebody's life by running them over, shooting them,
right,
or you drag them into court and attempt to ruin their life. When
yeah.
you know someone is innocent and you ruin their life, whether it's done while you're wearing a suit
yeah.
and a powdered wig, or it's done when you're drunk and in a van, either
sure.
way, you deserve to go to the joint.
Yeah, I mean, there's a book called The Banality of Evil. Think about how evil it was to ruin these three young men's lives for a pension. It seems so boring.
But think about it. The other thing is, think about doing it while looking at them. And their moms and their dads.
Yeah.
You know, that's a special kind of evil.
I want, I have, my feeling with this is the same feeling I have with a lot of these situations, which is, I'm going to give you two choices, Mike Nifong. You either knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
In which case you are lying, deceitful, and deserve to do time.
Right.
Or you're so bad at your job.
Right.
You're so inept at your job that you deserve to do time.
Right.
It's like you crashed a plane. I don't know if you were a drunk pilot
right.
or the world's worst pilot.
Right.
Either way, I want to see you prosecuted yep. because there are
sure.
lives that have been affected.
There's manslaughter and there's murder one.
Yes,
either way.
So, Mike Nifong, you're either the world's worst attorney or you knew what you were doing and you did it intentionally.
Yeah, that's
right. Give us one more, then we'll take a break.
Give you one more quickly. Ellen came back yesterday and her first guest, Hillary Clinton, they had a conversation, and I believe there's an allusion to Senator Larry, I'm not gay, but I did some weird stuff in the bathroom, Craig.
Mm.
All right, so yes, I'm gay, and so that's important to
and
me.
And you're happy, too.
I am happy, and I'm gay,
I know,
yes, because there are some people that are gay and not happy, as we know.
Hold on a second. Stop this.
And won't even admit.
I think Hillary was attempting to make a double entendre word.
Gay, happy.
No.
I hadn't even noticed.
Let's hear it again. I think
you're happy, too.
I am happy, and I'm gay.
I know,
yes. Because there are some people that are gay and not.
Maybe Hillary was playing on the word gay.
Is that the person we want in charge?
Wait.
Well,
no.
You know, we don't need them to be hilarious.
That was kind of a single entendre, if you will. I mean, she said, I'm gay, and a lady who's in has to be the most PC possible was just showing that she's accepting of this one being gay, plus you're happy. I don't think she was going for anything, you know, real interesting. There.
Now I know I'm right.
is that how you know? Is that the buffer zone?
I think she was saying gay as in gay and happy and gay. I think she was making a gay on gay word play joke.
Quite possible.
I think.
Right,
one more time.
I agree.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, then maybe I'm not right. Well, let's listen one more time.
All right. So, yes, I'm gay. And so that's important to
and
me.
And you're happy, too.
I am happy and I'm gay.
I know.
Yes. Because there are some people that are gay and not happy, as we know. and won't even admit it. And so.
I think Hillary is trying to make a gay, happy joke.
I think she was trying to keep up with Ellen. She was doing a decent job.
And then.
Oh, excellent.
But who gets the Ellen joke?
I thought it was a Larry Craig joke.
The second joke was at first Rosie, and then turned into Larry.
No, Rosie admits it now.
Yeah, I wonder, but Rosie's unhappy.
But I wonder if people even, and maybe we're guilty of it as well.
This is amazing.
Read too much into certain things, because she's just doing it off the fly. Obviously, yeah. Hillary's jumped in and right. steered her a little different direction. She made a quip or a comment. Maybe we're exploring it too closely. Maybe we're reading into it too much. Paul Bryan agrees.
But I think
now
it was
I know I'm wrong.
It was a Larry Craig reference, though, because that was yesterday, and that was pretty much the biggest story domestically.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be back with what, T?
Man assaults dad with snack food.
I wish someone would attack me with something delicious for a change. Quick break. Back with that next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Stafford Township, New Jersey. A 77-year-old man killed his wife and then committed suicide with a nail gun. Definitely not a Jew.
Not one of the tribes, Minty. Nope.
Probably not.
How about the rest of the news, baby girl?
I'm not sure if Patrick Hammond is one of the tribesmen. He's from Des Moines, Iowa, and he's been charged with domestic assault. He lives with his dad, Michael, and on Sunday night, they got into an argument. At some point, Patrick was so angry, he picked up an open bag of Cheetos and threw it at his dad.
Oh, man.
The bag hit the dad in the face, and it hit him right in the glasses, which caused a cut on the bridge of his nose.
Anyone who's ever been hit with puffed rice knows the pain firsthand. I mean, it's technically a missile is what they call it.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the salt can get in your eye and sting that.
I'm glad you
mentioned
that.
That's an attack.
Sure. The police
came. My brother went the same way.
That's how he died?
Puffed rice.
Wow.
Mm. That was his name.
Puffed Rice was his rap name.
Well, that's, I'm sure P. Diddy will write a song about it and sample some other guy's better song.
He was P. Ari.
Well, the police came, and in their report, which mentions the cut on the bridge of the nose from where the Cheetos hit Dad in the glasses, the report says, quote, Michael's T-shirt was covered in Cheeto dust.
Mm.
So that was important for them.
So we found my brother, too.
Now, here's...
The maid found him. She screamed Mijo into the sky.
How'd that
actually,
go?
She modified it. She yelled, yeah. Cheeto!
Was there one first Cheeto?
Mijo!
Or did it go right to the last Cheeto?
She went right to the third Cheeto.
Well, this may surprise you because a lot of times when people assault their fathers with Cheetos, they're stone cold sober.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy... Sure. Was high on meth.
What?
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like any meth heads I know.
It's so true. Well, here's an important study out of...
the important thing is this government continue to spend more money on eradicating marijuana than meth.
Yes, yes.
That's the important thing. It's called priorities, people.
When you're high on pot, you eat the Cheetos.
You kill yourself with your own Cheetos.
Right.
You turn the bag on yourself.
Right.
That's right.
Not others.
That's right.
I was out Sunday night at a club called Dragonfly.
Yeah.
And the guy from the band Fish was there.
Right.
Now, I make a fairly big deal about being sober. And he goes up and he says, I see you on all the talk shows, man. Congratulations, right on. And shakes my hand. And when he pulls his hand, there was a huge bud of marijuana in my hand.
Wow.
I haven't even seen pot in a decade. And the guy's congratulating me on my sobriety.
But to be fair to him,
that
the guys
is
from Fish wear jackets made of marijuana.
Right.
So
you
could have part of the sleeve could have just broken off on your hand.
A bud or a button. You never know with those guys. I sure hadn't thought of it.
Yes.
I do like when people give you drugs for presents.
But I forgot about it. It was in my pocket, and I got a message going, why is there marijuana in the bathroom? And I had to write this whole little email.
Well, you like that as a gift?
Drugs?
I just think it's funny. I'm with you.
Ralphie May, comedian, came in here, gave me a big sack of weed when he was in here a couple days ago.
He just gave me a huge sack.
I think I saw you pass along to somebody, you know, who would enjoy it more.
Yeah. Let's see.
That was awesome. Very generous.
Let's see. Who here would have loved to take some of the buds that Ralphie May gave
Angie?
Me? No.
Bald Bry?
No.
I think I know who you're talking about, and he's asked to not be referred to as such, so let's just call him Dyke Mawson.
You know, I thought it was very generous.
He has asked not to.
No, I like drugs because I entertain, and the people I entertain like drugs.
Right. So you
give
just
them the drugs.
Like some people have a liquor cabinet.
Sure.
Right. Part of,
look, if you're throwing a party and you want to have some food, you want to have some libations. Well, if you have a lot of friends that like to smoke a lot of weed, and I have a lot of friends that like to smoke a lot of weed, well, that's part of what you need to bring out if you're going to be hosting.
Now, do you offer a variety of types of weed to your guests? Like this is some of the chronic, and this is some of the sticky icky.
This is, I have Humboldt Gold.
Maui Wowie.
And Maui Wowie and every other reference from the 70s I can think of.
A pot butler comes out.
That's right. Madame.
May I roll?
They're all served on a cracker.
Madame, would you like the bong with the six shooter? May I help you operate the carb?
That'd be fantastic. Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
My name is the Zigzag Man. I will be at your service throughout the evening. Mr. Carolla has required me to... All right.
Well, the news has reached a high.
Yes, T.
Now it's over. That was the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
Quick break and then back with the roundup next. Well, just enough time to thank Seth Green for coming in here.
Yeah.
Robot Chicken, Cartoon Network, 11:30 Saturday through Wednesday. Also, a quick heads up, everyone, Chris Elliott. You remember the super funny Chris Elliott. Yeah, from Letterman and all that good stuff. We're doing a show with Chris Elliott. It's going to be taping at Jimmy Kimmel's studio Friday. That's this Friday at 8:30. Free tickets at oneiota.com. That is oneiota.com. Limited number. They're free. See Jimmy, see Chris, maybe I'll even swing by. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I'm not gay, but I did some weird stuff in the bathroom.